this is where we fight back. We strip the little pretty pictures from their 500-channel universe, recontextualize it, then we spit the shit back at them. Special data, things that'll help people.
Hi, my name's Clarence. You know, I'm not a very happy person. I'm not a very happy person. I come home from my day at work, and I don't like it there very much because they make fun of me at my work, and nobody really understands me at my work, and nobody wants to be involved with me at my work, and nobody really understands what's going on when I have to go take my courses, when people see me at school. So you know what started to happen? I started to hear voices. I started to hear voices every Sunday night. They started to tell me to do things, and I'm doing things on Sunday night because the voices tell me to do them, and I'm happier. I'm happier now because I listen to what the voices say, and now with all the voices, I can hear them every time I want to.
It's Sunday night at 6 p.m. on Ranch Radio, and it's time to listen to those voices once again. All characters in the following program are fabricated,
check,
mostly out of toxic
check
waste byproducts. If you don't agree
check
with what we're
check
saying, don't
check
listen. If you hate what we're saying, let us know at ICQ number
5. Not loud enough. Mike's not loud enough.
And now, prepare yourself for 3 irregularly scheduled hours of deprogramming with What the Hell.
Drexel shows up. It's the What the Hell Show. It's Mike's not loud enough.
Mike's not loud
enough. Yelling and screaming. Listen to no one.
Mike's not loud enough.
Bringing shitty candy.
Hey, the shitty candy you sucked back at a
because
rate.
No one else would eat the shitty candy.
Yeah, I was saying it around. One person said no. One.
That's me.
That's the medic. We all should have listened to him.
Is Mike's not loud enough?
Is Mike's not loud enough?
Well, it's not.
We should get like that Baptist preacher thing going on. It says, and then came in Private Drexel.
That's
what it is.
Testify.
My mic is not loud enough.
Oh, that's very, very cool.
A handheld Atari 2600.
Is my mic working?
Check. That is
mic's
very, very cool.
My mic is not loud enough. Okay, we have the distractor meter.
Stop distracting people this show. Do not distract Sean.
That's beautiful. I get you right away, like, bang. The show starts, whoa, pretty shiny.
That's awesome. What's wrong with my mic?
I can hear you fine.
I can hear you fine.
You're suffering from my mic's not loud enough syndrome.
My mic's not loud enough.
It's catching.
My mic's not loud enough.
Check.
I'd just like to apologize for inventing that dream before the show started.
Send that to me. Send that link to me. That is too cool.
Welcome to the insanity we call What the Hell.
Go to the IRC, you freak, so I can go over people's names.
If you're not listening to the show and already saying what the hell is this?
You got the idea, I think. Actually, if you okay,
check, that's quite amazing.
All right, before we go around the room and setting all the mic levels, I'm going to go through the IRC. IRC tonight we have Sumerian, Milo, Bart, Prophet, Smokehouse, Tip Radio. What?
Why do you start off with Sumerian? I mean,
I'm at the top.
Woo. Because I am too stupid to know any better.
Wait, he's just reading. He's just
X.
X is Helio,
Echo Work, Guardian, Hey Skip Radio, Hey Skip.
Hey Skip.
Del, Decker Del, all the way from Finland. Jodath Moore. Or, is no R there.
I don't care, it's funny.
Or Modath Jor.
Mordath
Decker Live, Pseudo, Oracle, Waifboy, Integrity, Pokey Lips Away. Link URX, Melancholic Paradox, Rooster, Gargle Adam, Breaker One, Celeron, Evil James. Okay, we got to do something about this IRC thing. This is just like way too.
Told you.
Josh Gay, Zebulon Jr., Bomber Rat, Skolnikov, Gelatinous, Leth, Buck X, Half Elf, Infaloop, Kexler, Romulus, Schnitz, Skitty, Street Preacher,
Unner, Plastic, Pro, Battle Axe, Four Colladio, Plexit, Pro Pang the Plexite. That's awesome. You did that on purpose.
Goes, you will.
Somebody read my book. You're the only one. Battle Axe 4, Holy Deal, and Music God. What? No Deal, Snellfart, Star Baby, Tenchi, UXP, Y2 Karma, He moved it. What'd you karma? Is there a star quote? I quote. Cyber Samurai, G-Knight, Simplex, Spider Little, Spider Idol, Vampire Death Cook, Vampire Blackjack, Test Subject, Buck X, and Jemima, Brooksy, Infobot, Ominous Animus, and Zenova, Stats, and Gandori, and User X. What are you laughing at?
A little pause and a little
and more every moment.
More every second coming in.
Then back to the list.
All right, and who we got all in the room tonight?
Everyone just scream their name at once. No, don't do that. Oh, that was bad.
Wow.
That sounded bad.
Going around the room, we have...
The ever sexy.
Looking very pale. Looking like really good.
I'm wearing lipstick. It tends to suck the color right out of my face.
You got that kind of vampire goth girl on the left.
Yeah, pink lipstick makes me so goth.
Okay, we have.
That's a very musical
music
night.
From Dracula. Now we have very sexy Private Drexel with the wet kind of Paris Ralph Lauren sort of look. Kind of Gordon Freeman got the 5 o'clock shadow. And you got 3-day-old beer. Drexel looked at me and he said, "Why are you here?" I said, "I'm charming. I'm dashing. I'm rental car bashing." Okay. Sorry.
It's the old musical. What the hell?
And wait, Sean Kay slips into a Beastie Boys song.
Isn't this the point in time where I get to say hi? I got to say nothing. It was all Sean all day, all the time.
Welcome to our world, guys.
My Mac's not loud enough. My mic's not loud enough.
Okay. I'm Private Drexel. My mic is definitely not loud enough.
And then we go over to Ronan Medic.
Hello again, I'm back.
Sounding like a country singer. Over to 200% sexy projectile by my man, who's got the 7:30 o'clock shadow. Looking very much like a Survivor extra. Oh my God, it's Hugh Hefner! No, wait!
I've just been watching the election results since Tuesday.
When will it end? Please, God, let it end! And over to your old Uncle Dak.
Hi, guys.
Who's newly shaven.
Yes.
Because he was dating a Judeo-Psycho-Christian chick.
Yes.
She actually said that she prayed for me when she heard that I was celebrating Halloween.
Well, shit.
We all pray for you.
We all pray for you.
And I'm atheist.
I'm like, well, God, I'm going to crash in this car now, but please save Desmond.
Forget praying for Desmond. Pray for the children that come to his door. I mean, they're bite-sized for fuck's sake.
And there's Doris Truly Sean getting the fucking man in the house saying, "Hey, how's it going out there?" And
look, he's intact. And
everyone, just relax. Just relax. Brainwashing will be out tomorrow night. And then we have Distractometer.
The amazing Distractometer.
And piling the Distractometer, we have Hoonganenki.
Hello.
Turn your head. There you go. There's Hoonganenki.
Wow.
We zoomed in on the computer.
Don't start
on him. We have to put a photo of the Distractometer up on the site.
I think he just comes here to hack from my hub.
Well, probably.
Hack from the hub.
Oh, I'm sorry, is there a show going on? There's people talking. It's
and, of course, there's the ever-sexy, yes, the every woman's dream, Gargoyle Sumerian.
Mm.
No, it's Sumerian.
No, it's
Sumerian?
Sumerian, you're taken.
Sumerian's every woman's dream.
I'll look at the camera.
Everyone who thinks that Sumerian is every woman's dream, say so in the RC. Everyone say what you'd like to do to Sumerian in the IRC.
Oh, no. We don't need that.
I'm still in the IRC.
We don't.
Ask me how in the...
Jesus!
Is that even possible?
Ew.
Says no, that's Anki too.
That's illegal in at least 12 states.
Your holy Dio's dream. Take it off Sim.
No.
Yes, please do not.
Leg humping on Sim.
No.
They're all humping Sim. Sim is being gang raped.
Joe Dath Moore says you deserve a cookie for saying his name right.
I deserve a cookie?
Yeah.
What do you want, a cookie?
You want a cookie?
What do you want, a cookie? You're supposed to say his name right. But that's okay. So, what
are
we...
Cookies are done, man.
The cookies are done. Have we told that story?
I don't think so.
All right, let's do a quick Sean Kay story. Somebody set me up with another Dr. Pepper.
Please.
The phone might ring before... Before... You do the...
Why?
Because somebody's going to phone in.
Who's somebody?
Holy Dio. has something to say.
I got something to say. I killed your baby today. Doesn't matter much to me as long as it's dead. Here's the deal.
Holy Dio.
Holy Dio.
Hi, Iron Rant Radio. Who's this?
Prophet Holy Dio.
Hey, Holy
hey,
Dio.
Holy Dio.
What a coincidence.
Yes, I'm calling because I've been taking part in a project where I'm trying to get a computer for Skip, and it turns out Evil James had a box that it needs a hard drive and a couple of parts.
Yeah.
And well, basically we got most of the box together, except for what we need is a floppy drive,
uh-huh.
A CPU cooler, and we need two 32 megabyte SD RAMs. We're trying to get 64 megs, and it's going to need two.
Okay.
I've got the floppy drive.
So anyway, if you have any of this stuff and you're willing to donate, you contact me, your Evil James, or tell Skip, or whoever.
Uh-huh.
If you could tell me, that's great. Evil James, that's great.
Yeah.
And I'd like to give out my email and Evil James emails, because for those who don't have, who aren't on the ARC, or who I might not have on ICQ.
Relax, man, relax! I'm going to hit you with a shovel! Jesus Christ!
As Battlemax says.
Holy deal, Leah! Fuck, man, time to switch to decaf, okay, son? Just take it easy. We're all scared, okay? You're scaring the shit out of me here. Holy fuck.
What?
Yeah.
Holy deal!
What's your holy deal?
Talking slow for me.
Okay. Okay, Holy Dio has the highest baud rate out of anyone here. Okay, this guy, you're like Holy Dio T1. Okay.
Okay, what's your email address then?
Okay, my email is red5 at dreamtheater, dreamtheater @zzn.com. Kind of long.
Yeah.
Evil James, it's much easier to remember. Webmaster at eviljames.com.
Excellent.
Oh, damn it! We'll get out of run away.
Wow.
I'm totally fucking with you, man. I'm totally fucking with you. How you doing? Where are you calling from, man? Where are you calling from?
Oral Massachusetts.
Oh, okay. Oral Massachusetts? Is that what it's called? Oral? What's the name of the city?
Lowell, Massachusetts.
Oh, I thought you said it was Oral Massachusetts.
Fixation for
Lowell, Massachusetts, as I like to say.
They should have,
I'm an asshole. What can I say, you know?
They should have a place called Oral Massachusetts.
Anyway, so it's working out great, because I'm heading down to Buffalo, New York, which is, like, you know, considerably down closer to Philadelphia, you know, where we need to be, or Philly is where Evil James is, and then Skip is, like, at.
Okay, when you get down there, you got to talk to...
So if we could get everything, you know, in a couple weeks, that would be really good.
Okay, when you get to New York, I got a batch of this pod right here. Okay, when you get to New York, you should probably get in contact with APOC, because APOC...
Yeah, I know. I sent him a message earlier. I was going to ask if we could use, you know, if you could use this place or whatever to meet up, sort of, because I'll be driving a ridiculous amount.
A ridiculous amount.
I have relatives in D.C., New York, right next to Buffalo, and I go home for 3 hours, then I go there 6 hours. The next day I'm driving 9 hours. So, you know, if APOC could, you know, let us use his place or whatever, I told him, you know, next time I go down there, have a call meeting if you can. You know, if it's a good weekend for him, that would be great.
Right on!
Perfect.
Holy shit, brother, you are working for the auctions right now. People are phoning me wanting your name.
Listen, I know Ritalin's great, but you're supposed to top tank it after you leave your teens.
You rock.
You are the most, fuck Holy Dio, when I take over the planet, you are going to be the guy who talks to the newspapers for me. Okay? You know how they have newspapers that sit there and say, Mr. Holy Dio, they'll be saying, shut up. You're awesome, you fucking slam.
Come back anytime.
Anytime, buddy. Say what the hell.
Yeah, I might want to add, this reminds me, what you tell the newspapers is, you know, I found the perfect thing for your newspaper. You know when I run out of toilet paper?
Okay.
What?
All right, so if you have a floppy drive, a USB supported CD-ROM drive, CPU cooler, or any SD RAM, get in contact with us.
Okay, we will do that. The message
for those who missed, you know what I said.
Yep, the message is out. Hey, Dio, before you go, are you finished working on that rant yet?
Oh, no, I haven't even got started, really. I've had a crazy
Oh, my
week.
God, do
You're
I...
You're working on a rant?
I want to hear this.
Oh, well, yes, we do.
It's got a lot of valid points.
I'll bet it's probably got about 75,000 of them, actually.
See you later, Holy Deal. Stay
I
with the hell
in the IRC that for anyone who didn't get this, Smokehouse is going to slow it down and puts the version up to listen to later on.
All right, buddy, say what the hell.
What the hell?
Okay.
Excellent.
Ever seen, have any of you guys seen The Iron Giant?
Yes.
With the kid on the espresso?
Yes. The Iron Giant, by the way, is a holy film.
I just
anyone
saw
who has not seen Iron Giant?
I just saw it yesterday, and I have to admit, I'm not much of a movie person, but
Iron
Giant
that was just a rocking movie. Yep. I was like, because you used to, like, five old things go west or whatever, fucking, you know. Five, you know, rats in the west.
Stupid, funny animal movies.
Yeah, well, Iron Giant, like, fully is mighty. Like, anybody who sees this film would just, like, I'm getting it on DVD. It's a mighty, mighty, mighty film. Okay.
If you ever get a chance, unfortunately, I'm an idiot, and I cannot remember the name of the guy who wrote it.
That is unfortunate.
But the original story is called The Iron Man.
Okay.
It's a short novella. It's less than 100 pages. It is really...
It's supposed to be a long novella.
No, that basically is called a novella.
Okay.
If you ever get a chance to, if you can, find out who wrote it, get it, read it. It is friggin' great. It is about somebody dealing with death. It is like, honestly, it is like the best story I've ever heard for that.
Okay, cool.
Holy Dealer's phone call reminded me of something that was left on my answering machine that I'm going to play for you right now.
Okay, what was left on the
answering machine? This guy phoned in before to my number, and it was very similar to this, but I erased it. This one's much better anyway. So here it is.
I know it's Slim again. I just wondered if I had the right number or not.
Is that it?
Oh my,
Jim!
Wow, Bobcat Goldthwait.
What are you doing? You're all like fucking crippled here. There's fucking Sims all palsying out on us.
It was just funny because this guy phones when I'm at work, right?
He phones you at work?
He phones me when I'm at work, so I never get this guy's phone call. It's some old guy.
Slim, this is Ernie again, and.
He, obviously, his friend never phones him back.
Anyway, I should probably tell the rest of that story.
Yes.
Okay.
Go for it.
The story is the cookies are done, man.
Oh, yes, that story.
The origin of the cookies are done, man story. Now, back in the day, before Sean K was Sean K, okay.
You were someone else?
I was, you know, this guy looking for a job, right?
Small ass, small K.
Small ass, small K. No TFM. So, actually, I was always TFM. I was just younger. I was TFT, the fucking teen.
The fucking boy.
The fucking boy. But anyway, this was Sean K, the fucking teen, and or adolescent, or asshole, or one of the two. Anyway, so I need to get a job because, you know, work living at home sucks, and you got to do some work. So I was working with Good Dowie. Now, Good Dowie.
Oh, yes. The two Dowies.
For people who don't know, there are three Dowies.
Oh, yes.
There's Good Dowie, Bad Dowie, and Ugly Dowie.
I thought it was Gray Dowie.
Oh, Gray Dowie. Good, Bad, Gray. Okay?
Bad Ugly works better. But.
Gray Dowie was the spawn of Good and Bad Dowie. Okay, or actually, he spawned Good and Bad Dowie. He's the dad of Good and Bad Dowie. So I work with Good Dowie. Now, Good Dowie worked for this place called fucking some restoration joint. What was it called?
Like, don't need to give him a plug. Just
Psycho. Oh, they're dead now. They died. I don't know why. But anyway.
Pseudo restoration.
I get
really
called up. We get called up. We got to go in and we got to clean up this burned out building. So we go pick up some guys from Manpower, all fully toady work. We go down the street, and there's this, you know, you have those strip malls on the side of the street? And then there's like the one room, the one building that had the fire.
Yes.
Okay, well, it's a Photoshop. So. I walk in through the doors, it's raining, and there's no roof left on this place. And there's 3 inches of charcoal on all the walls.
Wow.
Everything is cooked. There's shit on the floor. Everything is black. Everything. It's all melting, shit slagged, and there's this guy walking around, you know, kind of looking at shit, kind of long-faced. And I didn't know he was the owner. How the fuck was I supposed to know? Right? So I walk in there with my shovel and the other guys from Manpower, and I'm looking at all the charcoal on the walls. Everybody's silent at this morose moment, and this silence is cut by me going, ding! The cookies are done, man! Holy fuck! The owner of the restoration company's eyes go that, do that, you know, Looney Tunes, Aruga thing, right? The poor dude who owns the joint looks up at me and a large tear gathers in the corner of his eye and begins to roll down his face. And good Dowie puts me in a headlock and takes me outside. While the rest of the manpower guys are laughing their heads off repeating the phrase.
Hey, what do they care? They're only there one day.
And they're like, fuck them. I mean, today I would have been, wow, you own this joint? Sucks to be you.
Oh, boy, man. That smells bad.
Well, somebody left the iron on. I mean, fuck. Turns out they think it was arson. They think the guy torched his own joint, his own place.
Really?
So fuck you. That's how I say. Like, if you do.
Hey, I'm impressed.
What?
That tear gathered in his eye.
I did a good job, man.
I didn't get the whole damn building.
Some things survived.
It's like, burn it all. Yeah, okay. You gotta wonder, what's that? Yeah, I was making cookies. Oh, really?
Or, yeah.
You had a methamphetamine lab in here, didn't you? No, no. Yes, you did. You fucking liar, don't you lie.
No, I would have incinerated the entire block.
Time for non sequitur with Enki. ICANN will not approve either .kids or .porn. That's all.
I thought it was .kids or .XXX.
Don't really matter. The two are tied together intrinsically somehow. I don't really know why.
No .kids, huh?
I have a question. Why were you looking?
It's probably up
it's on
top.
It's on the ultimate.
That was the most innocent blink I've ever seen.
Not out of Enki, at least.
That was that.
It was going to register some names, weren't you?
Well, no. It's because it's listed on that noted Penguin Nazi page. Yes, in fact, /dot has that running on the page right now.
Yeah.
Which, not that I'm against /dot, but I just have a problem with Penguin Nazis. Penguin Nazis are starting to seriously piss me off.
Mm-hmm. And they seem to repeat themselves.
And
all
like,
the time,
like,
same stories every day.
Microsoft got hacked! They suck!
Ever seen how many Linux boxes get hacked? Oh, my God.
Everybody gets hacked. Show me a hack-proof system.
In speaking about hacks, in the midst of all the insanity that has happened with the American election, this note kind of got overlooked. The day of the election, the Republican website got hacked by somebody.
Yeah.
So apparently
the
Democrat one, I thought.
I don't know if the Democrat one did, but all I have to say is whoever happened to get the Republicans, thank you. Thank you.
Oh, don't worry. The Republicans will get them. Hey, let's fucking piss off the guys who support big business. Wait. What are you trying to say? Sorry, that's my way of letting you know you can speak.
By looking at you and yelling.
I think the fact that, okay, there's been, you know, Microsoft getting hacked into, the Republican site getting hacked into, and then there's all these people that are saying on TV, you know, maybe we should go to an all-online voting system. No, I don't think so. Otherwise, we're going to have, like,
Sean Cale run. They tried that. It was called The Running Man in Germany.
Sean
Cale, and I was ahead by the popular vote by about 700,000 in 3 hours.
Sean Cale, the new president.
No one would tell me. Hey, guys, okay, we can't do this because if Sean Kay has knowledge of it, they can arrest him. So let's just make Sean Kay the leader of the free world. Mr. Kennedy, you're now in charge of the United States of America. Come again.
I'm not. It's 7 p.m. Eastern time, and it's election night in the States, and Sean Kennedy, a non-American citizen, has been declared the winner in the presidential.
It's election night in Canada.
Just enough people wrote him in.
One billion votes for.
You can write in people on the ballot,
yes, you can.
Can a non-American be president?
You have to be born in the States.
You have to be born there.
Yes, you can't actually. You can't be like a naturalized citizen.
Ladies and gentlemen,
really?
I'd like
born.
To declare the nomination of Skip Radio.
Yeah.
He has a bit
There's
of
a way around
beef.
It. Yeah,
he has a bit of a beef with certain individuals. Have the Secret Service,
or we could just have like somebody who's really, really deeply involved with cult with some heavy commitment, like say Smokehouse.
Smokehouse for president.
Hey, Smokehouse for president. Yes, I declare.
2004. Smokehouse.
Is it not true that you have allegiances with Sean Kennedy?
I know not of what you speak.
That'd be great.
We're going to play Rant by No Deal.
By No Deal?
No Deal sent in a rant.
Let's hear it.
It's called Shut Up.
Shut up.
I didn't listen to the whole thing,
but
here it is on Rant Radio.
You must die. I alone am best.
I need to talk about something that really makes me angry. It drives me insane. Makes me bad. Those people that day in, day out, without fail, come and bitch and complain to everyone that will listen about their problems they're having in their life. Blah, 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 blah. My job sucks. Blah, 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 blah. My relationship sucks. Blah, 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 blah. My life sucks. Shut up. What are you doing to change it? You're the only one that can fix it. It's not like telling all these people will magically solve your problems. And what's even worse is when these people complain, tell people about the problems, and then as soon as anybody offers a suggestion of how they might possibly get out of this problem, or offers their experience of how they dealt with that problem, they're like, no, no, you don't understand. You can't possibly understand. This is so shitty. Shut up. Take a little responsibility for yourself. The only reason that you earn a shitty job is because you choose to be in a shitty job. The only reason you have a shitty relationship is because you choose to be in a shitty relationship. The only reason your life sucks, well, okay, maybe some people's lives suck. I'm not going to discount that possibility. But you have the power to change it, regardless of what anybody says, regardless of where you live, what color your skin is, it doesn't matter. You have the power to change your situation, and you are the only one that is in total control of your life. So stop being a victim, stop bitching, stop complaining, get off your ass, and fucking fix your fucking life. I'm Prophet No Deal, and shut up!
I hope you die.
He likes you. He really likes you. But he's got something in mind for you. Aren't you curious about that?
I'm curious. I'm very curious. You curious?
What the fuck?
It's time to find out what exactly the fuck is going on. It's news you need to know about on What the Hell.
I would like to know exactly what the fuck is going on here.
Okay, so here we are back once again and talk about news. And we're going to do local news before we didn't do international news first. First, we have the local news as to what has been going on. It seems that there was one of the cult members was attacked this earlier this week. And, you know, that cult member went out and Ronan Sariot, I think it was attacked. And, yeah, so, but that's stopped now. And I don't think there's any more problems that have come along from that, but apparently he was phoned at work and his box.
It's all good
was,
now.
Yeah, I think so. I think I think his box was attempted to be hacked, and they called him at work and were harassing him at work. And I heard after the fact that I guess this guy pissed off a whole lot of people in doing this because his website was gone, his FTP access was gone.
Sounds tragic.
Yeah, he got shut off from cable and the radio station that called him. Their website is gone, and people he owed money to are gone. And, yeah, it's fairly Kaiser Soze. So, you know, lesson from the power company. Fuck with power, lights go out, dumb. Yeah, so that's what's happening there.
I was working the other day, and I get out of my Loomis van, and I look down the alley, and there's this guy, and he's running.
And he's running.
And his name is Alex?
And there's another guy, and he's running behind the other guy. And the guy running after the guy says, "Hey, guy, call the police." So I'm like, oh, fuck.
Told you to call the police?
Yes. And I'm like, okay, now I have to go out of my way.
And help this guy.
Call the police instead of doing my job.
So hey, there's two people running down the road.
So I call 911 and I start chasing after him down the road with my cell phone and my big fucking 50-pound backpack worth of envelopes I'm supposed to deliver.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's not terribly amusing. Don't get too excited.
Okay, sir.
So what
sorry,
happens?
Not that interesting. Now
don't get excited, right?
All right. So we're running down the street, and I'm like, yeah, they're going up the street, up Hamilton, or up Helmkim. They're turning right on 1,000 Block of Drake. Blah blah blah. Go around the corner, and then I see the guy being chased. He's like some like bum or something, right?
Yeah.
He makes this fatal error. He runs, runs up the stairs onto the. It's like a raised section of the street. It used to be a loading dock. And the other guy pushes him on the ground and then jumps on him and holds him there, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, right on, he's got him.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the guy chasing that told me to call
okay.
the cops.
Okay, yep.
So I'm like, to the guy, I'm to the, you know, to the cops on the phone, I'm like, yeah, yeah, he's, they got him on the ground, they're holding him, right? And I look over, and the guy, I see him just in time to see him look around, and then he goes, boom, 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 and starts beating the shit out of this guy. It was pretty funny.
What did the guy do?
He stole his backpack.
Oh, the bum stole the guy's backpack?
What?
Yeah.
What guy was it? Was it like some biker or something or what?
I have no idea.
Just the guy.
Was.
The guy stole somebody's AWOL bag, and he was tuning him in the back alleyway.
Uh-huh. And then this other guy pushes him out of the way, so he runs up, gives him a couple of running boots. Amusing. So I told you it wasn't that interesting a story, but
so
if you were there.
You watched this guy pound the living fuck out of this homeless dude.
No, he didn't pound the living fuck out of him. He just got some cheap shots in there.
I'm sorry.
What am I
going to
do?
Some
the guy deserved it. He stole his fucking backpack.
I mean, sorry, you could have held him.
Still have all his teeth.
I was half a block away from him anyways.
I'm sorry. Put your mouth on the curb.
Put your mouth on the curb, motherfucker. That was really brutal.
American History X.
That was
a great movie.
No, fuck that. If some guy stole my backpack, I'm not saying I would kick the shit out of him.
Depends what's in the backpack.
I don't know. I don't care what's in it. He doesn't know what's in it. It could be a fucking $1 million. It could be, you know, spare change. He stole my backpack. Motherfucker, come back with my motherfucking backpack. My motherfucking empty backpack, come back here.
My backpack is worth more than your welfare check. Come back here.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You know, I don't have sympathy for thieves. Like, I don't care how shitty the guy's life is.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't have a right to steal someone's shit. You don't have to live on the street. I don't care.
If you want your own backpack, you can make $3 an hour licking the grime off people's tires or something. I don't give a shit.
You know what? Minimum wage in Vancouver is pretty fucking good. Like, it sucks to live on minimum wage, but you can do it better than living on the street. You know, living in a
dumpster. People don't want to do it.
Too bad. Don't cry to me about how hard done by you are if you just don't want to work at, say, McDonald's. I mean, they're constantly hiring. I'm not saying it wouldn't suck to work at McDonald's. You can have a much better life working at McDonald's. You can afford to rent a place
on
McDonald's.
That's assuming you're totally sane. I mean, there's a lot of people out there that are, like, mentally ill.
I had to deal with one this week, but I'm going to save that story for Tales from the Loser Cruiser. I had one this week.
Okay.
But the thing is, you know, fuck them, burn. They stole my backpack. Stab him in the neck with a number 2 pencil, and when you leave, light the fucker
on
fire.
It sucks to live on the street, and I'm not saying it's not hard to get off the street once you're there.
You're a conservative, Drexel.
But I'm not going to feel sorry for the guy because he stole someone's shit and I got punched a few times for it. I mean, I've gone over this.
What do you
before.
Think you're going to get if
it's
you steal
pain.
Something,
it's
right?
It's not like he broke his leg and ruined, you know, his
football
way
career.
Of life and
football
ruined career. His career. Yeah. You know,
it makes him actually a more effective bum if he broke his leg, wouldn't it?
That's the perfect Daryl Strawberry.
My leg broken, I can't work. Give me money.
It's not like he maimed him for, like, you know, spitting on him, you know, so it's...
Yeah.
That's just as bad.
Or possibly killed him.
Yeah.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, so, in any case...
It goes back to the whole pain thing, you know.
Back to what's in the news.
NH court rules school district must release net records. In what could be a landmark decision in the area of online privacy rights, a New Hampshire court granted the father of a public school student the right to obtain internet usage records of all students who used computers and web access supplied by the school district. The district was also ordered not to withhold records that may be requested in the future and was forced to pay plaintiff's attorney fees. So this father got all the records for every student. Like, what right does this guy have?
No, that's awesome. Give me the mic and I'll explain why.
Okay, this is wicked. Because before, the only people who could look at those browsing histories were the administration of the schools. So now, what's the motivation for them to do? The next thing that they've got to do is realize that anybody can look at anything they browse. So what do? The smart thing to do is turn off the fucking logs, jackass. Turn off the logs. There's no logs of anything. We don't have any records. We think it's too much trouble to monitor it all. The files are getting too big. You disappear the records, anybody can browse whatever the fuck they want. Which is how it should really be. You shouldn't be able to get crucified for looking at some titties on the internet. I don't care how bad the titties are.
There's a lot worse than that. Like, say if there's some kid in the class who is, like, who's, say, questioning their sexuality, looking up information about, like, gay teen support groups or something.
Damn straight. Those kids,
those kids
most likely would get in trouble. So I think that, it's great that anybody can look at these records because that means the administration's going to be awfully careful
about how much
they store.
That sounds like a big bag of fuck. Let's talk about the transgender youth movement in schools and how we all feel about that one.
What movement?
The transgender movement. That's all over the... Transgender. That's what they call young people now who are questioning their sexuality. They call them the transgender
youth. I thought transgender was like people who like want
for halfway between. They call them. Oh, I'm sorry. On the sign, I saw a sign on a bus that says, you know, support groups for the gay, lesbian, and transgender youth teams.
Yeah, transgender is different than gay and lesbian.
You're sort of halfway in between a woman and a man.
I'm just trying to clarify so that you know,
haven't quite
so
paid the big don't... money for the operation yet.
I don't know. Like, I think you got to be really careful with that, you know? You do, because there's a certain degree of things. Like, every male, and then when I was 14, 15, I was wondering, shit, what if I'm gay? Mm-hmm. You know? You sit there, I haven't had a girlfriend. I'm pretty scrawny. Got big glasses.
Mm-hmm.
I can honestly say I never concerned myself.
I only hang out with guys. Yeah. Am I gay? You know? And you don't know. And sometimes, you know, so
I was certain by that tent in my pants whenever I saw a really hot chick. I was
okay, well, that's cool. I wasn't, though. I was sitting back. I'm married. Great. But, I mean, at the time, you're sitting there and you're like, well, I don't know. Am I gay? Is this what's going on? So, and I guess a lot of people go, well, what if they aren't gay? And I guess a lot of the Christian groups are all like, well, if those kids were at that stage, they could wind up becoming homosexuals then.
They're confused. We've got to set them straight.
We have to protect them.
I have a question. How is, you know, choosing your sexuality that is not the norm, how is this like a bad thing?
It's not a choice.
I've yet to hear anybody give me a good answer.
Why it's bad.
It's bad.
It's not a choice. You don't choose to be gay.
I
understand. I agree with you.
It's sexuality that's going to get me beaten the shit out of every day. It sounds like a great plan.
I want to be harassed.
Exactly. Yes. The most eloquent defense I've ever heard on this was that given the shit and abuse you will take for being gay or lesbian, given the infinite amount of difficulty that will be added to your life experience because of it, why in hell would anyone ever choose this?
Given a complete 50-50 option, you know, you can be straight or just for kicks.
What about bisexual people?
Bisexual, that's just like being open-minded.
Yeah. I like sex. I'll do it with anyone.
As Woody Allen said, bisexuality immediately doubles your chances of a date on Saturday night.
Yep. It's like Henry Rollins says, I walk into a room, and if I'm bisexual, I go, damn. It's like, I could have any of these.
The thing is, though, okay, how is it that someone could not choose to be gay, but they could choose to be bisexual?
Yeah, but you're not choosing to be gay.
There are people who choose to be gay.
You can't
choose. No, but they're not gay then. If you choose to follow a lifestyle of fucking men and you're a man, you're not gay. Being gay is like being a man or a woman.
You can define it behaviorally and you can define it in terms of like the sort of psychological fundamentals.
There are people who have gone until they're 45, had families, had kids, had the works, and then they realize that
they were gay the whole time. They just didn't accept it.
They were just living in denial.
They were living in denial.
There's gay bisexual
people that are on the fence because it's a hormone thing, right? There could be people that are on the fence.
I'm just throwing out conjecture.
They are what they are. It's not a choice.
Biologically, like this has been for years. They've determined there's like a scale. There's like you can be like totally straight, you can be totally gay, and most people are not exactly one end or the other. They're sort of, you know, there'll be one tick over this way, or one tick over that way. You know, it's not like it's this nice neat definition where there's like, you know, you're either straight, you're gay, you're either, you know, it's like
so the guys,
black or white.
So if you're,
it doesn't work that way.
For example, there'd be 0 would be straight, 10 would be gay,
something like that.
And bisexual people are like 5s.
Ballpark, yeah, about that. You know, there's people, you know, like 7
but
and 3.
The important thing is that even if you're bisexual, it's not a choice. You are attracted to both sides. You're not choosing to date, you know, men if you're a man or women if you're a woman. You're attracted to them.
Yeah.
So it's not, you're not choosing to be attracted to them. You're choosing to
I'm going to be attracted to Jack. You either are or you're not, right?
People are attracted to people that they wish they weren't attracted to all the time. I mean, look at Britney Spears. There's a lot of people who would rather
not. Good point.
It's not something you can choose. You can't just say, you know, this is like an instinctual thing.
That's what it is, yeah.
You can choose to
ignore it.
Someone you're not interested in, but why would you?
Yeah.
You can pretend, but Yeah.
Well, because they're warm and wet when the lights go out. That's
that's all you need, right?
Yeah. Actually, I think when we get down to
the open-minded.
When we get down,
as the ringleader said, it's all the same when the lights are out.
as I think we all have to really openly, honestly admit.
Yes, I did actually say that.
Any port in the storm, right?
It was in jest.
None of us have any fucking idea really about what we're talking about. I think what we should do is if we have anybody.
What do you mean we have no idea?
No, I know what I'm talking about.
Why would we have less idea because we're straight than a person does who is gay, right? We know the feeling that we have towards the opposite sex or whatever.
I know, but I think that basically if we have anybody in the IRC who is gay,
that doesn't give them any more right to talk about this than we did.
Nope.
Just because they're the other way?
They have more in-depth about
I'm sure they can probably really quite orchestrate how the fuck they had their ass kicked a whole shitload of times.
But I think we can talk exactly the same authority of how we feel.
You bet. You bet, absolutely.
Mm. Well, that's true. I mean, you know, when you love someone or you're attracted to someone, it's the same feeling. It's the same biological mechanism no matter what your, you know, AC/DC, any Audi, whatever you want to call it.
The overriding theme is that it's not a choice. If you're attracted to someone, you just are.
Yeah.
You're not choosing to.
You can choose whether to express that or to go after it.
But the same thing, if you're gay, you can choose to not express that you're gay. You can live with a woman your entire life.
Now, what if you've been drunk?
I was on day 3 of a 5-day bender, and I found myself wearing a dress at a leather show. Now.
Is this something you want everyone to know?
I don't give a shit. Doesn't bug me.
They know it already.
Everyone always knows that.
Hey, well, let me put it down. Let me knock it down to this.
How much actual control and how much choice is involved in this?
We all understand what drinking does. It lowers your
inhibition,
right? And so you're really letting, you're allowing yourself.
So maybe Sean's an 8 and the 2 was coming out.
And that other 2 was coming out. I've got no problem with that.
Yeah.
I'd rather people say, oh, Sean, you were involved with that. I mean, you were all hanging out with gay people and shit and blah, blah, blah. I'd rather
Sean's like, I beat gays.
Fuck that.
I remember. Yeah. I'm not knocking you for this, but I actually remember a point in your life where you were so anti-gay.
You bet.
I mean, I've never seen. I think one of the.
I was rabid. I was fucking first roommate in high school because I was scared I was gay. What are you gonna do? Rabbit homophobia, here I come.
You swing it the other way.
Oh, you bet, because you're scared, right? You don't know what the fuck's going on. There was back in, what was it, late 80s?
Yeah.
You're going to be gay in a redneck high school? Better not, right? I mean, fuck, you'd get the living ass. Fucking, you'd be killed. I mean, holy shit. Was I rabid? You bet. You bet. You want to know what changed my mind on that? Which actually made me go, wow, I'm a full piece of shit.
What?
It was the movie Philadelphia, as sad as that is. As sad as that is, that a film totally changed my mind. And then I sat back and I go...
That's a mark of a great film, if it can...
Oh, it profoundly affected my life, actually. And I was sitting there going, God damn, you know, that's something to say. You know, something to see, you know, something like that. And people go, wow, well, how can... And this is what pisses me off. This is what pisses me off now. If I was running for president, I'd be like, Sean used to be a rabid homophobe. Yeah, I used to pee my pants, too, when I was 6. People fucking change.
Yeah.
You know, people grow. I'd rather have somebody...
It's called personal growth.
It's called personal growth, motherfucker. Once upon a time, I used to think that being in a killer would be the greatest thing in the world. Mm-hmm. Then you kind of go, wait, my whole life's a lie.
Yeah.
Reformat. You know, F-disk format C. You know, install operating system. I mean,
and
they
bring it out with anybody who's getting elected. They
dig
up their
back.
25 years ago, he did this little thing.
30 years ago, you got a blowjob from your brother. So what?
And this has to do with my ability to run the country?
Yeah, this is so, yeah. I'll wear a little...
I'll be too distracted by my brother giving me blowjobs.
Bad example. The world over, incest is... a big taboo everywhere you go. I find that
other than the fact that, like, every time I look at you, I'm going to be extremely creeped out. That's one of the reasons I'm not voting for you. I want to get you out of the public light so I can have to see you.
Hey, but whose fault is it? Is the media or is it the people watching these stupid shows? Oh, my goodness. More dirt on this guy.
I would not care if I had a coke addict running the country, provided I made sure he had a mountain of coke to go on, okay, so that no one could manipulate him by his addiction, okay, I'd help the dude shoot up.
I'm hoping
if he was going to run the country the right way, well, I don't know, and I think the biggest crackhead in the universe would be like, Mr. President,
how do you feel we should handle this education policy? Oh, well, I think that, you know, people need to learn, and we got enough bombs. maybe we should, you know, teach some people some shit. You know, it's not fucking hard.
Yeah.
You know, really.
No, we need more bombs.
Mr. President, there's a bunch of homeless people, and they're all ready to riot. Oh, how much did we pay Boeing last year? A whole lot. And give that money to the homeless people.
Give them homes.
Yeah, but that's what it all comes down to. It's easy to say that. And that's what everybody's always bitching about the government. Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? Sure, it's easy to go, yeah, we'll have public Medicare for everyone. That they want to do that. Why? Because now everybody loves them and they'll keep voting them in.
Yeah.
It's a matter of money. It's not as easy to – it's easier said than done. Let me tell you.
Okay, let's just make sure why it's easier said than done, though.
Yeah.
It's not like these guys are sweating the blue red fucking tape. Bullets. The only reason why they don't go and give these guys, oh, yeah, why don't we do that? It's because big business will go, excuse me, we got you elected, so now you'll dance for us.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is. And if you don't think that
is. Yeah, no, sorry. You're oversimplifying. You're just oversimplifying it. That's not exactly how it works. The government's out there just for big business?
No.
The
government's put in power by big business.
No, but they believe that doing things the way they do it is going to be able to make their country better. But they're not out there just to fuck the people over.
No, they're not.
There to fuck the
they're made to fuck the people over.
No, they're not. The government is not
get
there
any
to
real
fuck
power,
the people over.
By the time you get any kind of real power in the United States, you are fucking bought and paid for. Your hands are so fucking tied.
Who paid you the money?
Much?
Who paid you the money to go on your campaign? You didn't have $20 million to put up those signs.
They're
all
dropping the whole Kennedy family like fucking flies. Why do you suppose that is? Why do you suppose they wax JFK like a motherfucker?
I've never seen any conclusive evidence of that, so I'm just not going to touch the topic of
Let's
that.
Let's not
you know,
go there, shall we?
That exactly.
Why? I mean, everybody knows it. Everybody knows it.
Everybody does not know it.
Okay, anybody who's got
a big argument.
Okay, anybody? How do I do this?
Everybody who believes Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone, raise your hand.
Yeah. So
don't know enough about the situation. I wouldn't think that I'm alone.
Okay. I don't think Lee Harvey Oswald had anything to do with it. But I just don't think at this point we're going to be able to figure out with any kind of definite conclusion.
Of course not. After something's been buried and sanitized for 40
yeah,
fucking
and
years.
Like, and, yeah. And trying to say, oh, well, it was this, it was that, it was this.
Whatever evidence there is, it's like, been so fucked with by now, you won't be able to sort out what is and what isn't true.
Until we get a fucking time machine, we're never going to know what the fuck happened.
Well, this is why you need somebody.
It was the guy's the time machine!
You saw that episode of Red
Dwarf. What you need is...
Predictably enough...
What?
Never mind, I thought you were going to say something else.
Well, no, what you need here is you just need somebody, or some male or female, to have some intestinal fortitude to take a stand and say, wait, we're not going to fucking spend any more on bombs this year. Just this year, okay? Everybody fucking chill on the bombs. All
yeah,
you dummies,
you know
be
what?
Cool.
That's, again, easier said than done. You do that, and now all the people that are involved with making bombs get no money for this year.
They're out of a job.
Now
and they have a
well,
lot of money.
You're right, you're
going to
be pissed off. They
I'm
have
just
a bomb
this
factory.
As an example, but now all the people involved with bombs
depends
have no money.
On how you do
all
it.
Those people now have no jobs. That company that's involved with it makes no money that year, which instantly breaks them. And
oh, God, and the whole world ends.
But I'm talking about, yeah, but you're using the term of bombs, and it could be anything in particular.
There's
right?
also companies that the United States just pays huge cash to have them not produce anything and just keep them on retainer.
It's called corporate welfare.
Okay, there's...
Okay, corporate welfare.
Rather than say, do I want to go some poor fucking schmuck in Idaho who works at a weapons manufacturing plant polishing grass or whatever the fuck it is those people do, that's fine, okay? I don't want to take food off his fucking table. All right, that's all well and good. But I guarantee you we don't need $600 hammers, okay? I guarantee you we don't need the $400 toilet seats, okay? I guarantee you that
I guarantee you that in 93 or 94 when they abolished this department, we didn't need a committee that was still doing a study on the bicentennial.
Okay, there is, if the United States government wanted to go through and audit and go get, why don't they use some of their military intelligence and the intelligence groups they have to find the most rabid accountants in the galaxy and sick them on the Pentagon?
Okay? You know what kind of shit you would disturb? you know the amount, you'd disappear. Yeah. Your accounting team would disappear. I don't care if you're the president. Yeah. I don't give a shit who you're rolling. Poof! I don't know. Tragic plane accident. Ask the Kennedys.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's...
Yeah, this is why if I was ever involved in politics, I'd be picking up my teeth pretty quick.
A lot of this crazy shit, these things like these $500 toilet seats, a lot of the reason why you get this stuff is because, you know, the factory that makes these things happens to be in the riding of some big shot politician, and the people in that riding are able to say, you take away our pork barrel, we won't vote for you next year. We'll vote for that guy from the other party, and your ass is out. You know.
But the thing is,
how many votes do these people have?
When
it's the whole riding, you pretty much get tossed out in your ass. That's why you lie
like a motherfucker to get in there. And then once you're in there,
you've only got 2 years, 4 years to do all this stuff.
You give me 30 days.
The thing is,
30 days. I could take over a country in 4.5 hours. Fucking right. Desert Storm lasted 36 minutes as an air war. 30 days? No problem. I'm going to be taking some of that drug that allows me not to sleep now. I'd be talking like Holy Dio. And I'd be like, oh, yeah, we're redoing the budget fucking tonight.
Yeah, and you'll be budgeting a couple million for those green bugs dancing on the walls, I'm sure.
By the end of it.
Great. Are you fucking kidding me?
But the thing is,
green bugs are a core constituency.
Yeah, let's hear it for the green bugs.
The thing is that you talk about, like, you know, pork barrel politics and politicians screaming about, you know, things that are in their writing. This is a story I love. I remember when I first heard this, I couldn't fucking believe it. The U.S. military has been having part of a project that was involving what's the name of that mountain?
Cheyenne Mountain?
No, the one in Hawaii, the volcano that's always erupting.
Kilauea.
Okay, it's a project that's monitoring an active volcano, which at the time, you know, one that's actually spewing out lava. Kilauea is the only one. They called in the guy that was ahead of this project in front of Congress and wanted to know why all of this money was just going to Hawaii. I'm not making this up.
Because that's the only one that does this?
Yeah. That was the explanation they tried to get across.
They didn't
understand.
I swear to God, you could take any crack monkey and put him in charge of the presidency and say, oh, why are we paying these guys in the Senate a gob of money for they only sit there for 3 hours a year?
No, that's Canada. They actually do a little bit more in the States.
Oh, okay.
In the States, senators, they're elected, and they have a job.
They're elected, and they actually do something comparable to what the Congress
What's that
does.
Fucking cushy job they give these assholes after they have had a career in politics?
TV talk show host?
No.
In Canada or in the States?
Either one.
In Canada, the Senate is you're appointed whoever's in at the time. And essentially their job...
It's a retirement home for political hacks.
In theory, okay, it goes to the House of Commons, and then it has to go through the Senate, and the Senate then has to approve it, and then the Governor General will stamp, and it's a law.
That's a whole fucking position that should just be eliminated in
Canada.
Oh, yes,
but that people, tons of people agree with you. But what happened, this is the way it works, is essentially their job is to go over the laws and make sure they have no spelling errors and that it's all...
Sober second thought is what it was called. It was originally instituted as a way of keeping those rabble-rousers that were democratically elected from doing anything too crazy.
Yes, but right now what they do is they do have a job, but it's overpaid and, you know... They go over the laws to make sure that, really, literally, they make sense and that there's no stupid loopholes, blah, blah, blah.
Isn't that what all of
the they're appointed. So say the liberals, some senators are now, you know, too old or whatever, and they're gone, and the liberals then appoint a whole bunch of senators.
Right.
Right? Now, when the law goes through and say the liberals are no longer in power, they still have all these senators there that are appointed and stay there till a certain age or whatever it is. And they go, oh, well, you know, we don't like this law.
the liberals don't. So we're going to just sort of stall and slow it down and do what you want.
Sounds like bullshit to me. Me and Palpatine, say abolish the Senate. Thanks for coming out.
Girl on the left, what exactly is the form of government we have? What's it called?
Bullshit?
Parliamentary democracy.
Yeah, parliamentary democracy. We don't actually have
democracy.
We don't really have democracy. We have parliamentary democracy.
What the fuck is it in this country when I turn 100, I'm going to get a letter from the Queen?
No, we're not a constitution.
Why is that exactly?
Yeah.
We're not a constitutional monarchy anymore, not since 62. We used to be a dominion. I know that, but then we changed in 62, and
for us sending troops to fight in World War One, in the Great War, a part of that was that we no longer have to answer to the crown. That was for World War One.
Yeah.
So anything beyond that is merely just pieces of paper. At that point, we no longer have to have permission to write.
That was only
lines
for the Dominion of Canada. For technically, Nova Scotia. Was it Nova Scotia or Newfoundland?
Newfoundland
joined in 49.
In Confederation, which was, like, as far as I'm concerned, was a mistake.
Shall we go on to something else?
Yeah.
Okay.
You started this argument.
You're the one who started.
Lego
Star Wars!
From the American and Canadian political scene, we go to something cool. Lego Star Wars!
Somebody recreated all three the original Star Wars movies in Lego.
Crazy-ass bastard
like
from
scene
Japan.
Like, scene by scene.
Remember, we made movies like that, Sam?
Yep, we did.
I would love to see that.
That's insane.
So there it is in the IRC, and everyone can look at it scene by scene. All the movies.
Bye, Inky!
Inky and the distractor meter are into the goddamn thing there.
There they are. Lots and lots of pictures. That's for you to look at.
Is it just a ton of pictures or is it video?
No, it's not video. It's the picture. There is one on video. Find it and watch it. It's absolutely amazing. They use the audio from Star Wars and match it up with Lego.
I found something even better. I found the entire thing in ASCII animated.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's animated with ASCII characters exclusively, and it's perfect. And it's the whole episode 4.
Oh, they just use a translator. You can translate anything.
No. Hand-drawn ASCII art.
Hand-drawn?
Hand-drawn ASCII art, the whole thing. It is
That would take forever.
Yeah, I know. It did. Like, R2-D2 was not like a giant mass of characters that formed the picture of R2-D2. It was like R2-D2 is like the little
drawn
upright line symbol and a couple dashes.
Oh, okay,
and his cap is like...
Bottom line, either these people are incredibly talented or need to be removed from the gene pool.
Ding!
Well, they're accomplishing it on their own now, aren't they?
Well, I think that's okay, though. I mean, you know, why not?
Does anybody remember something we had a few years back? It was called Troops.
Troops,
yeah. Oh, yeah, that was so funny.
What are you talking about?
Stardude.
Never heard of that.
Flash animation. There's Star Dudes and the Bad Dudes Strike Back. They're all flash animations. Like the movies played out in a 5-minute cartoon.
I think Troops was quite possibly the most imaginative, funniest thing
I've ever seen on the
internet.
Trooper Clerks.
Yes,
Trooper Clerks. I saw that.
At my work, actually, my desktop wallpaper is two stormtroopers taking a piss in a urinal. My boss hates it.
Trooper Clerks doesn't even hold a candle to Troops.
Movie parodies.
Oh, no,
For those of you who like them, there's a new one out called Charlton's Angels.
Yes.
Charlton's Angels?
There's a website called www.trailer...
Just two W's.
www.trailers... What's it? Trailers...
What's that site called again?
www.
Fucking hit me.
It wasn't, it was poking you.
Inky, that was very, very loud in my ears.
Yeah, no, it was.
Now.
I heard it very loud
what was that?
Through the speaker, and you don't have a mic. I hurt my ear.
Don't do that.
Bad. Bad, Inky.
I will deafen you all.
No.
Inky, we all have microphones. You don't. You know what this means? We can
Shut
shove
up.
These microphones
this will not fear
into
him.
A variety of orifices, if we so please.
This will not fear him. All I need to do is hold my Emerson Striker
in the
corner of his screen, and he will instantly become silent.
By the way, it has been discovered that duct tape is the force. It has a light side. A dark side, and it holds stuff together.
Oh, my God.
Does red green know?
Holds the universe together.
Holds the universe together. That's pretty good.
It surrounds all things. It comes around.
Is it made of midichlorians?
That's sort of like Alien 3. It never happened.
Thank you.
Are we striking episode 1 from the our universe?
No, hang on.
No, no, just the Midichlorians.
Just the Midichlorians, okay.
They have been struck from my Star Wars universe.
Mine too.
I don't need Star Wars to become Star Trek eyes where we have to explain everything. How about we just say, hey, it's a lightsaber and it cuts people up? Yeah. Right on! Hey, it's the Force! I can use it to fuck you up!
The bit where
read your mind,
Darth Vader's mom, whatever the fuck, I can't remember, Anakin Skywalker's mom goes, he has no father, he was just born. I was like, virgin birth! I was almost, swear to God, about to walk out of the theater right at that point.
I'm
sorry, but the way it works is, he who wins the war gets to write the history. We all know the Empire won the war. They fucked up the history. We can just leave it with that. Say that
it
never happened.
I'm sorry. My mommy was perfect.
My mommy never had sex. She was a virgin.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's Darth Vader's version. My mother was pure.
Yeah. So we're going to argue with Darth Vader.
So poor. Anybody remember how she said it? I don't know how to explain it.
Oh, it was bad.
What I don't get, okay, who's cooler? Okay, who is cooler? Darth Maul or Darth Vader? I think if Darth Vader and Darth Maul had a scrap, I think Darth Maul would fucking pump him like a bitch.
No, nope, not a chance in hell.
Okay,
Vader is so tough, okay, he doesn't need to do flips and backflips and have a double lightsaber. He just looks at you and goes, crunch.
Do you realize this conversation has reached the intellectual level of Superman could beat up Mighty Mouse? I mean, it's like
Superman could beat up Spider-Man.
Well, at least we're talking in the same universe here, not DC and Marvel.
It's a matter of Darth Vader. Did he do like tons of flips and move his lightsaber all the place? He didn't have to. He knew where you were going to put yours, and he just had it there slowly and methodically.
He will crush your throat from across. Yeah.
It was like Neo at the end of the movie. He was sort of bored blocking, you know, the hits.
What movie?
If you don't know what I'm talking about,
you know, Kennedy, at the rate you're going to get kicked very hard by lots of people. And you're wondering, but why? I'm the cult leader. Boot.
And this is, you know, somebody was complaining about us, you know, talking about Canadian politics and getting all bored. Now we're getting into this. They're like, you know, who's cooler, Darth Maul or Darth Vader?
I have to say that Darth Maul could have been a very cool character in a different way. But Darth Vader, the best Star Wars film, hands down, anybody disagrees with me, can suck my ass, is Empire.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
Episode 5.
Agreed. I'm sorry. It was the first. It was the first film I ever saw that was not animated when I was a child. So really? I'm like, oh, I have no idea what the fuck's happening. And then we saw the giant AT-ATwalkers, and that permanently scarred my mind forever and said, one day I will street create a cult. So form an alliance, and we will build one of these things and conquer the Earth.
And two-headed cats?
And two-headed cats.
Meow, meow.
Meow, meow.
Well, it's not in the movie, but I'm sure they wanted them.
But I'm sure they would have thought of it. And
actually, I think if you look in the first movie, in the alien crowd scene in the bar, there's a two-headed cat. I'm
probably.
And in the pod race, too.
Right? Anyways, go on.
So I'm sitting there. Now, however, for the coolest scene in that movie, okay, that I would have, I'm amazed that they managed to pull it off, was in Jedi. When Vader does the WWF extra, goes, and the guy you've hated for all three films suddenly turns light side and does the Hulk Hogan bench press to Palpatine, walks over and pitches his ass
into
like
giant.
He almost hit him with a chair. You know, I mean, really. Smack! And everyone's like, ah! Vader fucking rules ass! Yeah!
I know. All right, tell us to bring something else. The Empire Strikes Back, everybody, if almost anybody who's a serious Star Wars ophile, loves that movie more than any of the others. And I also like to point out that in fact, was not directed by George Lucas.
Yay.
It was directed by another guy
named
Irvin
Kershner. But neither
was
Return of the Jedi, right? Lucas only directed the first one.
Just directed the first one and the first one. And
anyways, apparently on that movie, Irvin Kershner, who directed it, George Lucas basically turned over the script to him and said, I want you to take this in the direction that you see for the movie. And that's why it was by far the darkest of the movies. And that's probably what made it so good. It wasn't so happy, feel-good. Aw. Look at the Muppets.
Well, one thing, Empire Strikes Back, okay? When we started watching it, man, I believe I saw it in the theater.
But I was very young, and I don't really...
As we were all.
Right?
Yes, we were all young then.
So most of the time when I'd seen it, it was on video, no widescreen whatsoever.
Right.
Right?
Right.
We rented a Laserdisc. This was like almost 10 years ago, about 8 years ago, something like that. We rented a Laserdisc. It was widescreen. We watched it at our friend Jake's house. We're watching along. They're in the meteor storm. A meteor hits the Star Destroyer's bridge. Boom. Cut scene to Darth Vader talking to two captains. No, no, wait. There's three. Uh-oh. One of them's dying and blinks out of existence. Does Darth Vader even notice, pause, say, oh, one of my captains just died? No, he continues with his briefing. Do you know the point I'm talking about?
Yes, I know what you're talking about, yeah.
You don't... We never saw this. We love this movie. We knew... You could... You know, you can quote the whole movie. And we're sitting there. We couldn't believe what we
just
saw.
That's new!
This guy just died! And Darth Vader, he doesn't even, you know, well, not that you'd see him blink.
Drexel.
Doesn't even take notice of the man dying in front of him.
And there's
goes,
still,
oh,
and there's still word of the day, Philistines, unquote word of the day, that don't like widescreen. Where are these jackasses? They're the reason I bought a knife a little while back.
It was
stolen by one of those fucking Philistines, I think, too, but I'm going to stop
that. That one scene is my major argument for getting widescreen everything.
And Braveheart,
the next
you said
one
too.
Is, of course, Braveheart, but that's the main one. Braveheart, where you see only like a third of the soldiers.
I went and saw Star Wars in the theater when it first came out.
I did too.
A couple of weeks after it first premiered, before the advertising went berserk on it.
Yeah.
So I went and saw it. I saw it the one time. I didn't go to see it 30,000 times like everyone else did.
Yes.
In the 70s.
Yeah.
Years later, I'm watching it again for the second time, the first week it's been released on video.
Yeah. On beta?
On beta. It was VHS that we got.
Okay.
And I'm going, this is not how I remember the movie.
Uh-huh.
And for years, I thought... you know, my brain had, like, dropped a few cells or something because I remembered a whole bunch of sequences that weren't there. And then I move in with Ronan, not an arc, mm-hmm. and he has this monster book about Star Wars, like Star Wars everything, every panel, every page ever taken. It's like this the Bible of Star Wars. And I'm looking through it, and it dawned on me as I'm looking through this that, holy shit, apparently I had seen a post-production pre-release. I had seen one of the ones that they were doing the test market
in
New York, and I had not realized. So I saw sequences that weren't like, I saw more than what all of you guys got to see when they
was
did
it,
the...
Was Biggs on...
There was a conversation with Luke.
Jabba the Hutt.
No, with Luke in the... No, Jabba wasn't in the version that was released, but there was a conversation with Luke before you see the...
Star Destroyer?
And before you see the Star Destroyer... you get to see Luke looking up with a pair of binoculars at the Star Destroyer fight happening in space between the Rebel transport and the Star Destroyer. Mm-hmm. Then there was a huge conversation with Biggs and Luke about the joining.
I remember seeing that book. I remember seeing that those pictures, and I was like, I don't know.
Between.
I think I'm going to join the Rebels?
Yes.
Yeah, I remember reading that one as part of the novelization.
And I for years, and there was also another couple sequences with R2-D2 and 3-3PO before the Jawas showed up. And there was a couple of other things, and by the end of
it... You thought you were losing your mind.
Yeah, I honestly thought I was losing my mind for years.
I went home and had a dream about Star Wars.
Yeah.
Made up parts for it.
Because, normally I'm creative, but the thing is I don't usually get the dialogue that good, you know?
let's not make the confusion that Star Wars dialogue is good.
Good point.
The conversation between Lando Calrissian and Han Solo is some of the most labored dialogue I've ever heard in my entire life. Like, you old space pirate? What, are you fucking serious? Holy cow. I mean, it's so brutal. I'm Lando Calrissian. You know?
I swear to God.
I run like fucking...
The movie would have been 10 times better if they'd hired Richard Pryor to play that guy's part.
Fuck that. Oh, yeah. The movie would have been 10 times better if they'd had, you know, James Brown play that part. Got you, say hands! Still time to say hands! Get choked by Wookiee! Get choked by Wookiee! Wookiee! You ever see him when he's running? He's running, Lando Calrissian running. He's got his arm and his wrist all flared up. Running from the rebels. Just say,
done.
Give me a fucking break.
I remember reading, like, there was a reason, the reason why they picked that particular actor for the job was basically he was like an ex, he was sort of like a heartthrob that was sort
Billy
of
D. Williams.
Yeah, and he was sort of on his way out and he was cheap.
Ah, okay.
He was cheap, he was available, he was eager. Okay, let's take him.
Yep. And they were sensitive to the fact that the only black person who was in the first movie was James Earl Jones as a voiceover.
Yeah, like, hmm.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll
apparently James Earl Jones has recorded all of the lines for the final movie.
Gee, I hope there's no final
just
letters.
In case.
Yeah, because they're worried he's going to fucking die.
They're like, we can't...
How old is he? He's not too bad, is he?
No, but the thing is...
He's big and he's fat.
Yeah.
He's
people
pretty,
who
he's
are all die.
He's pretty chunky size, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So they just had him say...
He apparently has, like, I remember hearing this, apparently James Earl Jones has terrible fucking stage fright.
Yes.
So, like, you can just imagine him going out there, it's like, you know, like, we'd like you...
Oh, he does look a little stiff.
Is it, There's certain actors, or there's at least one or two actors that have a stutter, but they don't stutter.
That was it.
When
that was
James
him.
Jones had a hideous stutter.
That's right. When he's acting, he doesn't.
Because he knows
it.
What he's saying.
Mm-hmm. Has anyone besides PVM seen a movie called The Man?
No.
It's with James Earl Jones. He was a minor, I think he was like the head of the Senate or something like that. The president dies, the vice president dies, and he ends up becoming the president.
Right.
Isn't this that is, what, like, the movie that's supposed to happen after Clear and Present Danger? Isn't that, like, that's what
that's
happens
that's
in the movie?
That's the situation, yeah. However, it was amazing. You have to see this. This is right in the middle of a lot of the problems, the racial problems in the States during
right.
the 60s.
Right.
And
no, actually, it was
the early 70s.
Early 70s. It was around the Watergate era. And James Earl Jones was next in line for the
presidency. Next in line, and James Earl Jones becomes the president. And this is like the same time we still have all this tension between blacks and whites.
Yeah.
And now, because of a fluke and the way the politics have happened, you now have a black man becoming the president of the United States. It is an amazing movie. Mm-hmm. It's like, I think, probably one of my favorite movies about politics that you guys have to rent it, have to find it, have to check it out. It's worth seeing for no
sounds
other
like
reason.
A good premise.
Just seeing, you know, Darth Vader become the president of the United States or the voice of Darth Vader.
I think they're just... Darth Vader as a cult leader in Conan the Barbarian.
Yeah, he was good. I mean, as far as cult leaders go, I wasn't bad.
He was pretty funny.
Right. I'd do that shit, too, if I could turn into a snake.
I was just going to say, he can turn into a snake. He can make snakes into arrows. What more powers do you need?
I mean,
that was a really good shot.
As a cult leader, like, you know, at the last cult leader convention I was at, but I was talking about that. And it's all cool, you
James
know.
James Earl Jones was there as a special guest.
Yeah, he was there, and he's all talking about, you know, oh, yes, and the power, you know.
Just one question, how many Republicans were there?
Well, they're all fucked up right now. They can't get any of their people, you know, going, so they were abstaining. But, I was all there, you know, along there was, you know, L. Ron Hubbard was there, and Earl Jones from the last movie, and Koresh was still hanging out. And we were all talking, you know, about being cult leaders and shit, and he's all like, oh, that is strength, that is power, I can call these children down from the top shelf, and I'm like,
top shelf.
You know, well, that's all good, James, you know, you like your voltage? Yeah. That's the only thing we're going to be able to run. But anyway.
We've got something I found on the internet. You may remember where it's originally from. Some of you have heard it. This is a remix of it, and I thought it was pretty good. Here's Help Desk Remix on Rant Radio.
Hello, I have my Canon laptop computer, too. I just got it back.
Oh.
Everything that I've written on it for the past 2 years is gone. Everything that I've written on it for the past 2 years is gone. Everything that I've written on it for the past 2 years is gone. And everything that I've been working on for the past now, 5 years of my life, is gone. You fucking assholes, now I want you to call me back. Do you fucking understand me? Do you get tired of you fucking around with me? Do you fucking understand me? I am gonna get my goddamn gift card back. I was told that I'd be called if you had to replace the hard drive. So I called Canon, they said the hard drive didn't need to be replaced. They just said the motherboard needs to be replaced. Everything that I've written on it for the past 2 years is gone. Everything that I've written on it for the past 2 years is gone. Everything that I've written on it for the past 2 years is gone. And everything that I've been working on for the past now fucking years of my life. Everything that I've written on it for the past 2 years is gone. Everything that I've written on it for the past 2 years is gone.
Okay, we got a call. Okay, here we go. Hi, you're on Rant Radio. Who's this?
This is Eric.
Eric, awesome. Yes. Where are you phoning from?
I'm phoning from San Francisco. Where are you?
We are in British Columbia, Canada, so we're in the same time zone, near Vancouver.
Okay.
Near Vancouver. We're in Langley, actually, but that's besides the point. So, what's up?
You know, I'm really disgusted with the state of poetry in the nation today.
You're really disgusted with the state of what in...
Poetry in the nation.
Poetry. Oh, do you have some poetry for us?
I'll tell you what happened.
Okay.
I'm just pissed off about this. I went to work Friday, and we have a beer party every Friday in the afternoon, and there was a beatnik theme thing, and so we had this deal, and there was a poetry competition, and I read my poem, and it was not received very well, and I'm really disgusted by this, and, you know, I just got to vent a little bit about that.
No, don't just vent. We want to hear the poem.
I will show you the damn poem. You'll hear the damn poem, all right?
All right.
We need to know the content here, Eric. Lay it on us, man.
Yeah, we want to know.
Okay.
The poem is called Right Wing Crackdownocracy, which is the form of government we have in this country today.
Damn straight.
A black trench coat? Are you a guy who likes men? Did you come here on a boat? Are you heavy into Zen? Crack down! Light fire to Old Glory? Maybe you're a deadbeat dad. Don't believe the Genesis story? Do you think Jerry Falwell's mad? Crack down! Pot smokers, idolaters, jaywalkers, and double parkers. Environmentalists! Nudists! Prancing around stalkers! Crack down!
Yeah.
I'm tough on crime. I'll build more prisons. Shoot those baby killers, for Christ has risen, baby.
Yeah.
You're the
Inside,
I fear it all, and soon you will see. When all the deviants are gone, I'll crack down on me.
Right.
Now, these Philistines where I work, they did not appreciate that, and I got the booby prize, which was a bucket of red vines.
What the hell? Sunday night at 9.
That's fucking. His laugh is so good.
That poem was just great.
That fucker on staff.
Oh, no kidding, huh?
We need a staff.
That was a phone call from a year and a half ago.
Nice.
He was great. I think he was probably one of the best phone calls.
Best he was calls the ever. Best phone call ever.
I was actually listening to that show on my crappy ass modem at home. That was the one that pretty much made me realize I've got to hang out here. I've got to come into that show. I've got to be here in person.
So if anybody has strange friends, get them to call in.
Get them to write poems. Get them to write poems or songs. Tenshi has a whole fucking album out now.
Dedicated to Rant Radio and Cult and Sean Kennedy.
Yeah, Virus, the Rise of Cult, and like their trance music. you should hear it. It's fucking great, too. And I'm like, listen to his music. It's called The Rise of Cult. And I'm like, listening to it. And he's got my music in the background. And it's all going, everywhere you look is cult. Everywhere you look is cult. Everywhere. And I'm like, oh, my God. You know, and I'm like, ah, ah. Like, I don't listen to my own rants. Okay, I can't. If I listen to, like, six or seven of my own rants, I, like, start getting really, really uppity and shit.
And I'm start like, start hitting things. Ah, things start breaking.
Ah, you know? I like to get, you know, the monkey cage at the zoo, you know? Because they got speakers there. You know? Monkey cages. And what would happen if you, like, you know, crank, like, the suicide rant and child porn and all, you know, my really... Really? You know, the old pissed off ones that we don't play anymore because we're too chicken shit?
I know the ultimate acid test for your rants.
What's that?
That they can be used as psychological warfare to, like, get somebody like Noriega out of...
No! No! That's no, really brutal. Because I know guys will listen to my rants like sick, like smoke radio. Like S radio, smokehouse radio, okay? He plays nothing but my brainwashings and rants. 24/7. That's it. That's all they play.
If you need them, you know, they're there.
People, that's why I took all my breathing out of my head. But that's
24/7,
all Sean, all the time, you know.
If you want to use psychological warfare, that's what the new kids on the block are for.
Well, that's what
I'd fucking kill myself after. That,
yeah, it's exactly. A small world after all is for.
Yeah,
anybody
that
who's
would
been
do
on
it.
That ride, by the end of that ride, you're like, okay, motherfucker, I know I paid $10 to get on this fucking thing. I will give you $35 if you let me off.
I see an exit door. Just
I've told this story before. I will tell it again. There was some place, I cannot remember where the hell it was, these cops had a guy, they were certain he committed a crime.
They're allowed
to hold you for up to 24 hours without booking you. They had the guy in the interrogation room. They tried working on him for a couple of hours. He wasn't talking. He wasn't saying anything. So what did they do? They started piping in "It's a Small World" through the fucking speakers in the room.
4 or 5 hours later.
No, it was like 16 hours later. He fucking confessed to everything, and they tried to get it thrown out by saying
it was thrown out.
It was thrown out
as cruel and unusual
punishment.
Yeah. And what was it? I missed that.
16 hours if it's a small world.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that would do it. Hi, you're on Rant Radio. Who's this?
This is Nomad Garmall.
Nomad Garmall?
Garmall, you have not called in before. Where are you calling from?
Pennsylvania, Reading, PA.
Ah,
how you doing tonight?
What am I up to tonight?
Yeah, what are you doing tonight?
I called to, let's see, more or less tell a real short story about someone that I work with.
Okay.
It's more or less my personal rant about working with morons.
Okay, go ahead. Working with morons.
Like... First of all, I work in a dessert factory, okay?
Whoa, now that's a weird job.
Okay, what do you do there?
I'm the food tester.
Food tester at a dessert factory. What kind of stuff do they make?
That sounds really cool until you think about it.
Well,
no,
I have to eat
dessert.
Give me some dinner, please.
Are you a, like,
savory foods, please?
What's your God?
It's my girlfriend.
What do you weigh? I have to know. I'm sorry. It's a cruel question, but you got to tell us.
About 175.
Okay.
That's not bad.
Anyways.
Are you 3'2"?
Story.
Go on about the story. Shut up. Everybody shut up.
I don't know if you guys have ever done work like that, but when you're doing production work, you have to learn to move efficiently, you know?
Kind of like when you're telling stories.
Right. But we have this one guy named Felipe that the most stupid person you will ever meet in your life. He does twice the amount of labor and accomplishes half the amount of work.
Okay, so he's thick.
Yeah, he's very thick. The basic story is this. There was this one example of he had to take a box and give it to my supervisor, okay? And you figure, okay, you're going to hand it to your boss, you know, and he's going to fix the box. The supervisor was standing 40 feet away from him. He takes a 30-pound box of chocolate and launches it at him.
Uh-huh.
It's the type of thing, if you'd see it, you'd be like, you just threw a box of chocolate at the boss's head.
That's pretty heavy.
Yeah.
Well, it's 30 pounds. What's heavier, 30 pounds of chocolate, 30 pounds of feathers?
30 pounds of feathers every time, Sean. 30
pounds of bricks.
30 pounds of bricks.
But that's what I was calling in about, was to just give my little rant about working with stupid people.
Excellent.
Excellent. Let's end the suffering for all. Say what the hell.
What the hell?
What the hell?
Excellent. We got to hook him up with Holy Dio.
Holy Dio, go to his house right now and give him some of what you're having.
Balance out, you know.
I actually think that probably was Holy Dio, but it was just a different voice.
He's
like,
come down. Oh, he's come down off his
arm. 33.
Should we institute? Yeah.
Whatever Holy Dio is on call has like a 45-minute half-life, right?
Call screeners. All right, so what are you doing?
Hey, Dak, stop.
Don't fuck with that strap.
No, pounding me on the back.
Oh,
what,
okay.
What do you want?
Never mind.
he's
driving me insane.
I'm going to tell you, ask you something, but never mind.
No, no, we're on the air. We're doing a radio show.
We're doing a radio show here.
Yeah.
Really? He wanted oral sex.
Never.
Will you have oral sex with Dak?
No.
Will you give him oral sex?
Am I the giver or the receiver? Just kidding.
All the same in the dark.
Can I get a ruling on that? If you get a blowjob from another guy, is that a gay thing to do?
That's not.
No, no, we already went over the gay thing. If you're gay, you're gay.
No. If you get a blowjob from a guy.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that like a gay thing to do?
Were you thinking?
Are you gay?
I certainly think so, but that's just me.
No, like the guy giving the blowjob is probably gay.
One school of thought has it that one swallowed is not a summer make.
A summer make. You know, the fact that you've now applied that particular line to this particular circumstance, he's all tickled with himself. He thinks he's like Uber.
I've been waiting. I have dragged
modern literature into the level of gutter humor. My name is 200% Sexual Projectile Vomit Man, and I have come for your books. Behold me, the great terror that is. Okay, speaking of which, what we're going to do...
careful.
Oh
there, Jack.
God.
I can see your veins popping.
Okay, what we have here is
a failure to communicate.
I did a rant. Fork actually contacted me today, and he said, "Sean, do you take requests?" Because I tried to do my rant. My rant sucked. So can you take requests? And I said, "Yeah, sure." And I do take requests. People give me the story, and
Sean
I
Sean will do anything
I'll
for money.
It. I'll do anything for money. Yeah, I get paid for these rants. Wait.
One rant does not a summer make.
One rant does not a man make. So.
Oh crap. Okay, this isn't, this isn't boosted up in the levels, so everyone's going to have to turn up their speakers. This isn't compressed.
And then turn them down.
Turn them down afterwards.
Okay, so what we're going to play now is we're going to play my rant that I did for Fork about the ozone layer, and then we'll play a song that was made by someone...
I can't remember who made it.
So
whoever made it, put their name in the IRC.
Yeah, please do, Sim. I'm sorry. Sim never
he
told
has a
me.
Different ICQ name. Oh, it drives me crazy. People with 10 names for every application.
Yeah.
He has a different ICQ name than he does in the IRC, than he does in Cult. I mean, it's all over
the
place.
Oh, my God. That's really annoying. Yeah. This is why I don't even have a separate name from my online name.
That
so
would be too confusing.
I can barely even remember where the fuck I live. I mean... Anyway.
That's a lot of folders.
So,
hey, Distracto Man. Okay.
Get that Distracto Meter away.
This is Sean K on the Ozone.
Move from the left. Come back. Look away from the light.
Remember, it's two minutes and 2 seconds long.
He's got what?
What? I'm going to kill everyone here.
Up. Okay.
Don't ever play the Matrix here either ever again during the show. Okay, this is Sean K on the Ozone. Turn your speakers up and then turn it down after 2 minutes and 2 seconds.
It's time for another rant. Get ready to listen to Sean Kennedy.
The Cult.
Weird. For more info on Cult and Sean Kennedy, email
join at thecult.org.
Hit you in the face with a shovel. Okay, so I'm talking to Prophet Fork the other day, and you know what he says to me? He says, Sean, what's going on with the ozone layer? And I thought about it, and I said, you know what? We never hear about the ozone layer anymore. I mean, just because we banned CFCs, does that mean that the ozone layer is getting better? No, there's a giant fucking hole. It's killing all the frogs and sea trees and tribbles and chickens and everything else in fucking Australia. I mean, that crocodile hunter, he's going to be walking down the street one day going, oh, there it is, a great crocodile.
Oh, I got burned into a shadow because I've got no goddamn ozone layer. But nobody cares about this. Nobody gives a shit. Like, hello, hello, scientists. We're all going to die if we don't get this fucking ozone thing figured out, okay? There'll be no more ozone. You go outside, you get burned, people die. It happens right now, but nobody cares because they're not white people that's dying. So who gives a shit? South Africa, who cares? Who cares? All these frogs are dying. Who cares? Our ecosystem's turning to shit. Who cares? Doesn't matter. No big deal. Hello, we got to focus in on this. We need to have more attention directed towards our environment. We get global warming happening, all the ice caps melt, all these animals die, and it's like, oh my god, we're dying. As a race, as a planet, we're dying because we poisoned ourselves for too long. I don't know if I'm the only one who clues into this. Like, hello, if you shit where you sleep, you're gonna stink when you wake up in the morning. It only makes sense. Only makes sense. We've got to clue in on this. I'm not saying go out and be a radical earth firster. I'm not saying go out and start spiking trees, but maybe you should talk about it a little more rather than being distracted all the time by the infotainment industry. Maybe we should make sure we want to know what's going on with our elected officials. Maybe we should partition a little more to say, excuse me, hello? We're all going to die. My name is Sean Kennedy, and I am the fucking man.
I'm committed to maintaining law, order, and stability in our country. I have already given instructions for appropriate steps to be taken to restore and maintain law and order.
As honest as hell!
Die große Zeit ist jetzt angebrochen. Deutschland ist nun erwacht. Die Macht haben wir nun in Deutschland gewonnen. Nun gilt es, das deutsche Volk zu gewinnen. Ich weiß es, meine Kameraden, es ist euch wohl noch schwer gefallen, wenn ihr meintet, es müsste nur nun ein Wandel kommen und er kam nicht und immer wieder muss er euch auf Fehl gerichtet werden. Es muss weiter gekämpft werden, es geht nicht, ihr dürft nicht handeln, ihr müsst ihr folgen, ihr müsst euch fügen, ihr müsst euch diesen unharten Zwang beugen.
No bastard ever won a war by dying for his country. He won it by making the other poor dumb bastard die for his country.
Kill yourself, kill other people! It's never that bad! If you have the gun to your temple, you will waste! I have a gun!
I'm not American, I'm going to fight. I want to stay out of the war. A lot of more stuff. Americans traditionally love to fight. All real Americans love the sting of battle.
You smell that? Hey, bum, son. Nothing else in the world smells like that. I love the smell of napalm in the morning. You know, one time we had a hail bomb for 12 hours when it was all over, I walked up. We didn't find one stinking big body. Smell! You know that gasoline smell? The whole hill. It smelled like liquid.
Fight to the team. Well, crap. Various bastards who wrote that stuff about individuality for the Saturday Evening Post don't know anything more about real battle than they do about fornicating. Now we have the finest food, equipment, the best spirit, and the best men in the world. You know, my God, I actually pity those poor bastards we're going up against. By God, I do. We're not just going to shoot the bastards. We're going to cut out their living guts and use them to grease the treads of our tanks. We're going to murder those lousy Hun bastards by the bushel.
from you boys, I know, are wondering whether or not you'll chicken out under fire. Don't worry about it. I can assure you that you will all do your duty. The Nazis are the enemy. Wade into them. Spill their blood. Shoot them in the belly. When you put your hand into a bunch of goo that a moment before was your best friend's face, you know what to do. Now, there's another thing I want you to remember. I don't want to get any messages saying that we are holding our position. We're not holding anything. Let the Hun do that. We are advancing constantly, and we're not interested in holding on to anything except the enemy. We're going to hold on to him by the nose, and we're going to kick him in the ass. We're going to kick the hell out of him all the time, and we're going to go through him like crap through a goose. There's one thing that you men will be able to say when you get back home. And you may thank God for it. 30 years from now, when you're sitting around your fireside with your grandson on your knee, and he asks you, what did you do in the great World War II? You won't have to say, well, I shoveled shit in Louisiana. All right, now you sons of bitches, you know how I feel. I will be proud to lead you wonderful guys into battle anytime, anywhere. That's all.
Wrong intro.
Wrong
intro.
Bad Sim, no cookie.
Bad Sim.
Wrong intro.
I'm going to cut my wages.
Intro.
Chocolate rations have been doubled from 4 to 2.
Wrong intro. As we're looking for the right intro, I will distract them.
This is just
blah, 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 blah.
Oh,
blah,
beep, more. Beep, beep.
You hear me now? See you next week.
Well, I don't know how to follow up all we've just heard, but I'll try.
Yeah, you got to follow up George C. Scott's speech.
Yeah, I'm weak. This week, I had a special case. I'm coming home. It's late at night. I managed to make my bus. And this kid gets on, and a young Mexican kid, at first the way he was acting, I kind of thought he was on drugs because he was, like, making little noises to himself. And he kept standing up and changing seats. And somebody would, like, get off the bus. He would go sit in the seat they had just been sitting in. And he's going on and finally gets down to there's only about, like, 3 people on the bus and this kid and me and the driver. And they're all, like, the other people on the bus are all sitting in the front. They're, like, as far away from this kid as possible. I'm sitting in the back. He keeps looking at his watch. And he's, like, getting up and looking around. And finally he goes over and he goes, do you have a watch? Do you know what time it is? And I'm like, yeah, okay. I tell him, and he's like, what time is it? I tell him, he's, what? Finally, he grabs my wrist and looks at it, and I'm like going, okay, I'm looking at this kid now, and I'm realizing it's not drugs. I think he's schizophrenic, and he's having a psychotic episode.
Uh-huh.
Because he is, like, really, really gone.
You know, a pen
clip. So now he's making noises to himself. He's getting up. He's walking around. It's really, really hot on the back of the bus. And I'm like, very, very warm, so I decide, okay, I'll take off my sweater. And I stand up, take off my sweater, and I'm shoving it into my my bag, and he's like, if you're going to throw that out, can I have it? I'm like, pardon? if you're going to throw it out, I could use that. I said, no, I'm just putting it away. But you're not using it, right? And I went, no, I need it. Oh, okay. So he sits down, and I'm like thinking, okay, I'm watching this kid a lot now because I'm not even pretending to be like not watching him. I'm just like looking at him because he's like really freaked.
Uh-huh.
The last time I saw somebody like this, we were giving him medication, okay, uh-huh. where I work. So finally, he goes to the back of the bus, stands on the seats, and you know that flat area behind the last row of seats on a bus where it was kind of like he starts to urinate into that flat area up there. He's just pissing up there. I'm like, driver! Oh, driver! Driver! He looks around, stops the bus, goes back. What the hell do you think you're doing? Well, I had to go, and that's the bathroom. The bathroom's always at the back of the bus. I'm like going,
It is usually at the back of the bus.
So at which point the driver tries to, like, you know, pull him down from standing on the seat. He shoves past the driver, shoves past me, jumps off the bus, kicks the doors open, and we see him running down the road. And this is the last we saw of this freak.
Did he do up his pants?
Yeah, he'd actually done them up when the driver was talking to him, but
okay.
It was like, oh, fucking case. So the driver gets back to the front of the bus, calls us in, drives for a little bit, and like, they get a...
Can anyone go and sit in the back seats in the back of the
no.
bus? No. I'm just wondering, some poor unfortunate son of a bitch gets on the bus and, you know...
Now the supervisor shows up. The supervisor hears about all of this. He says, what do you mean he pissed in the back of the bus? And he's going like...
Didn't you understand?
Yeah, he's like looking at... He's looking around. He's looking at the floor. He's looking at the seats. And the driver's going, no. And he looks in the back area, that flat area I told you about.
Yeah.
And there is a pool. We're not talking like a little, like a quarter inch. We're talking, there is a pool.
The guy really had to go.
Yeah.
Well, he's not lying on either part.
So then the supervisor has to go get a ton of paper towels and sop this up.
Paper towels.
Yes.
Fuck.
Hey, wait a minute. What, should they get someone else to clean up? I think that's a supervisor's job.
No. Get a mop.
Wet cleanup, bus 53. Bus cleanup, bus 53.
No kidding.
So that's the end of this. The end of this very quick, very fucked up, very strange Tales from the Loser Cruiser.
Fork says, how the fuck can Dak have so many stories? I have no stories. Dak must be some kind of magnet for evil.
Yes.
Didn't we have an idea? Didn't we have a name for that?
Yes, it's called magnet. Agent Grim Servant of Death.
Yeah, that
from
is.
The Deadlands role-playing game. If you are a Grim Servant of Death, that is why you will always see Clint Eastwood, right? Nobody in their right mind would ever throw down with Clint Eastwood. You could have 40 fucking guys. You'd be like, what are you insane? That's Clint Eastwood. Throw down with Clint Eastwood, he'll fucking kill all of us. Yet they do.
And before he does it, he'll give you one of his little speeches about, like, this is a 44 mag and the most powerful handgun in the world. I'm going to kill you, motherfucker.
Yeah. And, like, you can make the same argument about, I guess, Jackie Chan.
Yeah, like, you know, and Bruce Lee. People used to try to kick Bruce Lee's ass. There's Bruce Lee.
Look at him.
I saw Bruce Lee. The first thought that went through my mind is, I'm going to try to kick his ass. My friend would look at me and be like, what?
That's Bruce Lee.
Are you fucking insane?
Look at his face.
Tense. Intense look.
Like, no, wrong. Bad. All bad, right? But they fucking do this shit. That's because they are grim servants of death. And in the game, it means you just attract shit. And
Though, if you saw Bruce Lee, I mean, you might as well try to kick his ass, because otherwise you might be one of his friends, which means you're just fodder for the villains to
know. Yeah.
There are some people who got, like, their asses kicked by Bruce Lee that got it off real easy, you know? If you're one of his friends, you always died, and then he'd get all pissed off and come back and have to kill everybody.
In the movie.
So well, it's
you don't want to be revenge fodder.
Yeah, exactly. It's always a lot easier fodder. To be one of the
you
minor guys.
You don't want to be the cop who is about to retire.
Yeah, exactly.
Little baby
you're
girl.
Never a partner.
Never be a partner.
Never.
I love falling down for that. Falling down. I'm like, oh, fuck. Yeah. He retires tomorrow. This movie sucks. I already know how it's going to end. I was pleasantly surprised, I might add. But it's true.
It was a brilliant
movie. You sit there and you watch, like, you know, but there's
Thank
certain
you.
Rules in horror films. Like, you know, you
Sorry,
go.
Listen for you. Find that list of things not to do in movies on the internet.
Yeah. There's the list of things you're not supposed to do in horror movies, like, you know, you
not
don't investigate with a candle, ever. You never wear a nightgown, ever. Never happens, you know.
Never jog at night.
Never jog at night. You never. ever do anything with the power out.
No.
It's like power goes out. Arm yourself now. Get under the couch and wait. I
turned myself into a victim one Halloween. It's Halloween. We've had a blackout, which was very fucking common in, like, where I was living, the area. Like, every couple of weeks in the winter and fall, the power would go out. So the power's out on Halloween. I'm walking around with a candle. I open one of the cupboard doors in the kitchen, and I thought I saw something.
And you, of course, went, Mike, is that you?
No. What do I do?
I start
opening the other cupboards, looking, trying to figure out, what did I just see? And I'm halfway through this, and all of a sudden I stop, and out loud, in front of a group of people who have no idea what I'm talking about, I go, what the hell am I doing? I stopped what I was doing, and I walked away. I went, oh, I've seen those movies. I'm not going to be a victim.
You know, they were sitting there. The woman would be there. She'd be like, oh, you know, I've got a bust of 88 million D, right? They'll be all sitting there in the bedroom, la, 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 right? Power goes out, ooh, what was that? And then from the attic they hear, Greg? Who are you fucking, babe?
Yeah.
Who are you fucking? Greg is some kind of shit in bed, or he's got some bowel trouble, and you're used to that fucking sound. Give me a break. Oh, Greg? Greg?
Oh,
Greg?
Wow. Greg? Is that you? Other rules of horror movies.
He's never usually in the attic.
The girl with the butch's haircut is the one who's the most likely to survive.
Yep.
The girly girl who has any girl who has sex is dead.
Yeah.
Instantly.
You're dead.
More than that, but now there's certain rules in martial arts films. Martial arts and action movies, there's the same rules, i.e., if you're the partner of the main character, you are fucking toast. You won't make it past the first 15 minutes of
nope.
If you are the girlfriend of the main character,
you're
going to
get kidnapped.
Bad
you
is
are
going
kidnapped.
To happen to
your,
you.
Your ass is kidnapped. This is also true for the martial arts hero.
Have you ever noticed that basically these guys never attack the hero altogether? There's like 8 guys, right? No. They'll line up so they all get to fight them one at a time.
Yeah.
It's like you could have 10 million ninja. It doesn't matter because they're only going to come after you one ninja.
Unless you're talking about
Drunken
Master 2.
Your turn
in
next.
Which case, it's
everyone at once.
50 crazy hatchet-wielding men versus one broken bamboo stick.
Yes, I've but Drunken Master is insane. I think we've all agreed on this.
But then there's the rules of Jackie Chan movies, whereby the first enemy is the really bad enemy, who he then teams up with later in the movie, who isn't really the bad enemy, and they team up against the real bad enemy.
Also, another person who should be mentioned, if you guys are after a fucking deadly, deadly martial arts movie, I would highly recommend Jet Li's Fist of Legend. Because if you have not seen Jet Li's Fist of Legend, Jackie Chan is a Chinese acrobat. Jet Li is
a martial artist.
And you will see the difference if you see the film Fist of Legend versus Drunken Master 2. I'm not dissing Jackie Chan. Jackie Chan's fucking amazing.
Chan does have the one advantage of having absolutely no regard for his own physical safety.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy as fuck.
Human being can have bones made of cartilage.
There's been a couple of stunts in some of the earlier films where he did things that I go, how is he alive?
Yeah.
It's not like, that was a great stunt. It's, how is he alive?
Nobody will insure Jackie Chan.
If he grew up in Langley, he would have been a skater.
Jackie Chan, okay, a lot of people like to say if Jet Li went up against Jackie Chan, Jet Li kicked Jackie Chan's ass. No fucking way. Do you think Jet Li could really catch Jackie Chan?
No!
Not in a million years.
He'd have his jacket wrapped around his head.
Know how hard you can hit is how hard you can get hit.
Yeah, that's
totally
why
Jackie Chan would win.
That's a totally childish argument again,
yes.
But night of the
Spider
childish
Man.
Argument.
Jackie would run away and throw chairs at him.
Well, it's totally Whoa. Like if okay. The only reason why I think that Jackie Chan would kick, like, they're both angry, they have to scrap, they both, you know, are on BZ or
Hence
whatever.
What's
they
in
go.
The room?
Okay, you put the two of them, and you know the octagon. They gotta go.
Empty room.
Jet Li wins.
Jet Li wins.
No, I don't know.
No,
you know,
room
why?
Full of benches.
The reason why I say that. The reason why I say that is two pop cans.
Go on, Sean.
The reason why I say that is because Jackie Chan has been doing it longer. He's got more battle experience.
Okay? I
know 14-year-old kids in Israel who can kick the living shit out of any Navy SEAL team simply because, hi, I grew up eating barbed wire. Yeah.
Okay, this is how it works. It doesn't matter that Jet Li is a martial artist and Jackie Chan is whatever
a Chinese
he is.
Acrobat.
Okay, he's a Chinese acrobat. You're trying to tell me he doesn't know martial arts?
No.
You know many martial arts.
There we go. It's not what martial arts. You know, if you're a kickboxer, if you're whatever you are, it doesn't matter if, oh, Kung Fu is better than karate. Kung Fu is not better than karate. Individual people that know Kung Fu kick fucking ass.
Yeah.
It's not that Kung Fu is better than karate. It's not that karate is better than kickboxing. It's not that kickboxing is better than Taekwondo, even though Taekwondo is just a sport.
Unless you're a Shaolin.
If you are shit hot at what you do, you can beat the fuck out of someone else. It's how good you are at this, at the art you know.
Okay.
When
you start getting into martial arts, I'm going to go with you on this one. Because, see, now there's certain martial arts you can study, which you can take only so far. Okay? It's kind of like in D&D when you had a character class, right? You can only ever be so good as a fighter, and then you'd have to branch off. Okay? Now, when you look at something like karate or taekwondo, or let's take taekwondo, for example, okay? Taekwondo, martial sport, very, very effective, you know, lots of kicks, shit like that, very, very good, okay? And people would always say, you know, oh, yeah, we used to train against guys who knew kung fu, you know, but in my kickboxing class used to smash the shit out of guys who knew kung fu. I was there, how long were you in kickboxing? I was in for 5 years. How long were the guys who were in kung fu doing it for? 5 years. Okay, when you're 35 years old and you've been doing kickboxing for 30 years, your career is over, okay? As a functional kickboxer, you don't function past 35, no fucking way. It's too hard on your body. It's external. However, if you...
But are you talking about a kickboxer that has tournaments and what have you?
I'm talking about a kickboxer who spars regularly, is into kickboxing. After age 35, forget it. Okay, forget it. Your fucking knees are gone. Your shins are gone. You're fucked, okay? Once you get into something which is a little bit more esoteric, like, you know, wushu, and starts getting into the spiritualism aspect of it, because for when...
The soft arts.
Well, the soft form and stuff. Martial arts is not about kicking people's ass. Everybody has this problem. That's a westernized concept. It's all about spiritualism and essence and energy and flow of energy. And the movements are just to go there. That's where you can get guys like Maurice Yushiba, who was the guy who developed Aikido, who had to be carried up to the mats in his dojo. When he was on the mats, the whole fucking class would come at him. He'd hand everybody their head using greater force against itself, and then he'd have to be carried back down again. That's martial arts. And martial arts are the first guys to go, oh, no, fighting and violence is bad. It's all bad. It's all about harmony and peace. That's like when guys train. In Japan, there's the Katori Shinto Ryu Shrine. It's outside of Osaka, I think. And what it is it teaches the sword. Okay, now, there are three schools you get there. You go there. They'll teach guys in there, whatever. Okay, you show up. For the first, 2 years, all you do is draw this sword fucking 2 inches out of the sheath and put it back. That's all you do. Okay, that's it. That's your old gig. After 5 years at that shrine, you pretty much got all the sword movements down, okay? 5 years, hardcore, 8 hours a day, you know how to use the goddamn sword. You get one scroll. After another 5 years, you get a second scroll. After a third set of 5 years, you get the final scroll. So there's 15 years total. But after the first 5 years, you know it. So what's the extra 10 years for? That's all for spiritual development, all right? That's all for, like, you and the essence of the body and mind and spirit and all this shit. Because over here, We don't expect that shit. Well, that's all religious. That's all esoteric, okay? We don't have any respect for that shit because it's not taught to us in any of our schools.
Philosophy. I went in there to kick the shit out of people.
I want to learn how to kick ass now. We have Americanized medicine, Western medicine, which is based on 600 years of theology and teaching. Woohoo! And then we have Eastern medicine, which is based on 6,000 years of, you know, all sorts of different devices, trial and error. And
kick the guy who does your bypass.
I hear you on that one, Anki.
Okay, what do you guys know about Eastern medicine? Anyone here know a single thing about Eastern medicine?
I know a little bit.
What do you know?
Why do you want to know?
Okay, the reason why is because people will sit there and they'll be the first guys to call down Eastern medicine.
Oh, I don't call down Eastern medicine, but if I have to pick a fucking bypass or smoke this herb and you have a 1 in 1,000 chance of it clearing itself, fuck you, put me on the goddamn operating table.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. But that's extremely invasive. Okay, that's extremely invasive. Yes, drastic times, yeah, absolutely, cut them open. You bet. But just because that is there, that doesn't mean that none of this theology is useless. People, they'll call it down, but we live in a culture...
But
if you have a pain in your neck, don't rule it out.
I like the attitude that the Chinese actually have over in China, and that is they tend to hedge their bets these days. They go see a Western doctor, and they go see a traditional Chinese doctor.
Yeah. Can I make a point here?
Can I make a point here with traditional Chinese medicine? Traditional Chinese medicine had a real big upsurge in the 1960s in China. You know why that was? Chairman Mao realized he couldn't afford Western medicine for all his people. Yep. So he figured, placebo effect is good enough for me. At least hold some shit off.
Besides, so we got 750 million people. Fuck it, I don't need that many.
No. So the whole point was that, you know, he knew they would need medicine. He knew there would be like fucking riots in the streets if they realized, sorry, we can't provide for your sick kids and stuff. So he made people focus this massive fucking campaign to promote the traditional Chinese medicine. And this is, you know, this is the 60s in China. He had a lot of other stuff going on, you know, all this Great Leap Forward stuff. And anyways, he took advantage of that. But you can damn well be sure that Chairman Mao, if he needed medical help, he didn't fuck around one little bit with traditional Chinese medicine.
For sure.
I am sorry.
Oh, absolutely.
He had the best Western medicine.
What you've got to understand, though, is that Western medicine is based on the whole idea of fixing shit after it happens. Chinese medicine is high. I'll take an ounce of prevention. Yeah. If you live a whole life based on Chinese medicine, you won't get fucking diseases.
That's the difference between Chinese medicine and Western medicine.
Well, yeah,
preventative medicine, they fucking own.
Preventative medicine is just something, like, Western medicine just doesn't even fucking think about.
And that's my point.
Stupid as fuck.
Yeah, Chinese traditional medical practice is just good living, good nutrition, and healthy. Like,
common
you look what they
sense.
Eat. They, green tea.
Well,
pretty healthy. You eat rice. Pretty healthy.
Oh, yeah.
Low fat intake. Pretty healthy.
High fiber.
Well.
High fiber, high vegetable intake. Meat largely used as a condiment.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, like, but.
Enki found this webpage. We were talking about horror movies and not what not to do in horror movies.
How do we get over here?
I thought I'd just change the subject for
sure.
A while. We can't talk about things too long.
Yeah.
Survival tips. 17. Yeah. When it seems that you've killed a monster, never check to see if it's really dead.
No, you don't.
Fire.
No, light it on fire.
Yeah, put a few more rounds into it.
Just get an axe.
get an axe or a chainsaw.
Yep.
Thermite reaction.
There you go.
If you find your house is built upon or near a cemetery, was once used as a church for black masses, had previous inhabitants who went mad or committed suicide or died in a horrible fashion, who have performed necrophilia or satanic practices, move away immediately.
Yes.
Sell it. Quickly before anyone else finds this out.
Burn the place down.
No, sell it.
Sell it. Then burn the place down.
Then burn the place down.
Never.
Sell it, have them build a subdivision.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah. Leaky Condo 7.
Walnut Grove of the Damned.
Yes, it is. Never read a book of a demon summoning aloud, even as a joke.
That's so fucking brutal.
Hey, Sean, check this out. Clack to Varad.
Bang! 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 Shut up now. My favorite line in the movie, we went and saw The Mummy. There's a line in there, whatever harm came from reading a book. The rest of the audience is quiet. My entire line of friends, about 20 people, are all sitting there. We have one entire row. Every person in that line started going, oh boy!
Do not search the basement, especially when the power has just gone out.
We've covered that.
Yeah, we covered that one.
As a general rule, don't solve puzzles that open portals to hell.
The general rule.
Don't you hate when that happens?
Everybody looks at that thing, but you remember the Rubik's Cube, right? Put me in hell for a good 3 weeks at one point.
I think they're like three short of opening a portal to hell with the Rubik's Cube.
No, fuck all that. Fuck all that, man. I'm sorry. I'd be like, ooh, neat little bastard. You gold off weekend. Fuck you. I just set the new record for closing that puzzle. Be like, bang. Ooh, that was impressive.
I'm going to take the stickers off of this one now and burn them.
Excuse me while I angle it and bust the corner piece and rearrange this. Like, I'd throw that fucking thing up in the air, and by the time it came down and hit the ground, that fucking thing would be solved. Then I'd be like, whoa, this left guy has beetles in his face. That's it. This is over. What's the next one?
If appliances start operating by themselves, move out.
Burn them.
Burn them.
Yes.
Do not take or borrow anything from the dead.
That's a good rule.
They're not going to use it.
Hey, what's with the axe?
Morning.
Listen closely to the soundtrack and pay attention to the audience, since they're usually far more intelligent than you could ever hope to be.
Don't look in the room. Don't look in the room.
Anybody who's ever been in a New York audience knows what I'm talking about.
They're very participant.
What's really bad?
I told you not to look in that room, motherfucker.
Damn, he's so dumb.
That's the really bad part, because in England, apparently in a lot of the UK and stuff like that, they boo and hiss and cheer and
shit. Yeah, they're very into the movie.
They'll do that shit. Because we had a friend of ours.
Only on opening night they do it here.
Where there was British, and the bad guy came in and he starts going, boo! And he's the only guy in the theater, and everyone's like, dude, shut up.
You know why that is, right?
Why?
Nobody's got firearms in the UK. That's
there you go.
Yeah, that was busting caps in movies.
When you land on a distant planet and find some objects that look like eggs, leave them alone.
Ooh, look! Eggs! Run!
No.
Run! The media's there!
Here's a good one. If you manage to lose a few body parts along the way, don't despair. Take this opportunity to replace them with weapons, such as chainsaws, harpoons, etc.
Where'd that come from? Fucking A.
If you're wounded by flesh-eating zombies, abandon all hope. Because sooner or later, no matter how many antibiotics you take, you're going to become one of them.
Yep.
That's right, man. Time to redecorate and brain matter gray.
You did that well.
Dr. Pepper for a week.
I'm sorry, man, but I'd fucking that whole shopping mall thing with the zombies. I'd own that scenario. You're like, what are we gonna do? We have to stay here forever? Fuck yeah, I don't have a problem. I got fucking food and water and all sorts of shit.
You're set for life.
Those raiders, like, they had like months to fortify that place.
Yeah,
and then the raiders show up. And it wasn't armed. What the fuck were you thinking?
Well, no, forget about that. I just have one.
Kmart's in the States have guns? Like,
yeah.
What?
That place did have guns.
No, they did have guns.
They didn't arm.
They had a sporting goods store in the
I have one thing to say. There's just one problem with all of this. They had, like, this area that had, you saw there was, like, a hardware store in there.
Yeah.
Most hardware stores have concrete. The raiders would have pulled the trucks away and found a brick wall.
Yeah. Holy cow, how long do I have to fortify this mall? About 6 months.
What raiders? What are you talking about?
We're talking about
Dawn of the Dead.
They had a mall.
The biker gang raiders.
And the biker gang raiders showed up, and then they fucking killed everyone, and there was a big fight, and that was one of the major problems of the film.
They had taken the mall. They were perfectly happy. They had months, and then these raiders show up,
and
open the thing up, and basically in one night ruin their entire world.
Yeah, which was bullshit. I'm like, wow, I have months and months and months to do this? Excuse me, while the entire 35 to 40 feet is nothing but bungee sticks and rebar with slice wire. Like, holy shit, it would take like an entire engineering team 6 months to get through my fucking...
The only way they're going to get shit out of there is if they bomb it and then shift through the rubble with me.
Seriously, man. Leave this horror movie, go see The Fly, grab the telepods, and come back and talk to me. Because that's the only way you're getting fuck all out of this movie.
Hey, Zeke, I don't understand this, but there's some hopping eggs around.
Boing, boing, boing. Hey, mind the mine, what mine? Hey. I'm sorry, I went to the model rocket section. Yeah, I built this Zuni rocket pod, so fuck you there, cowboy. I'm sorry. Anyway, sorry.
Your dog can take care of itself.
Yep, exactly.
Fucking A, I can have the best
better
cat.
Better than you can.
The best cat in the world.
No kidding.
Muffy!
That's the thing that runs
Muffy!
Out after the horror movie, right?
Muffy! I love Muffy! Muffy's so cute! If the zombies are outside, Muffy comes running through, and I didn't see Muffy the entire time, fuck that. Muffy got bit. Muffy died now. Well, thank you, Muffy! Sorry.
Muffy no more.
Muffy no more.
By the way, cats have only saved people in one movie. Stephen King's Sleepwalkers was the only time cats have ever saved
a guy. I'm sorry, I just started blowing away cats just because.
And that son of a bitch didn't deserve to live anyway.
That was a weird movie because they had that weird incest thing going on there.
I can't remember that one.
Sleeper?
Stephen King, guess what? Stephen King didn't even write that.
Oh, really?
Stephen King had something to do with the script. He had a little bit to do with the script. He had very little to do with that movie. They
same
just slapped his name on it.
Same with Lawnmower Man. That's why...
Lawnmower Man had absolutely no nothing, fucking relation to
the
story.
There's
a lawnmower involved, I think.
Yeah. It was a great movie.
Yeah, in the story, it was a Greek god. The god Pan showed up to mow the guy's lawn. It was a very short story.
Uh-huh.
It was supposed to be weirdness from Stephen King. And they turned this into a tech movie that was like, you know, computers and...
Whoa.
And fucking
really?
Chimps like, with battle helmets. I was like,
What the fuck?
I read the original. I thought the original was a wicked movie.
The original
or wicked
was a story.
Story, rather.
Yeah.
I'm all for the chimps with the battle helmet.
Wrong with that, right?
Can I get some chimps with some battle helmets? You know, I mean, that's what I began with my telepod.
If you're not a main character, suicide is a quicker and easier way out.
Oh, no shit. There's no shit.
Puzzle boxes are hard to solve for a reason. Never, under any circumstances, go to summer camp.
Yep.
Fuck that. I go to summer camp. I'd be bringing the AWOL bit.
Feel no guilt.
Yep.
Yeah.
No
You're
shit.
In the middle of that.
If you are a child, don't panic. Monsters only attack overly horny teenagers. Children cannot be killed in a movie, only possessed or absorbed. So cheer up.
Stay away from your television.
There are a billion of them. So that's a very, very, very good page.
What's the address of the page?
Oh, I put it in the IRC.
Give me one of the last
white
ones.
White people with pale complexions who moan and sway.
Don't go back for a friend. He's
friends.
A goner.
Yeah, fuck the friend. He's toast.
Never ever use a Ouija board alone. I think so.
I've covered that.
Yeah, that one's covered.
If the first 10 gun blasts didn't do any good, there's a good chance the next 10 won't work either.
I've always asked a question. You see a guy, he empties a gun into something, then he throws it. Why?
That's not going to help anymore.
The rounds themselves were doing nothing. Perhaps the kinetic force of the weapon will have a different effect.
186. When the flashlight batteries die, and they will, so do you.
Click, click, damn.
I was wondering about that. The guy empties, like, you know, empties all the 9mm rounds, so like 13, 14 rounds into the big monster. I'd be like saving one of those rounds for myself just in case.
Yup.
Fuck
well,
that.
Well, Twelve hasn't worked. This thing's got a lot of teeth. Bang.
Fuck all that, man. I might run into a door that's locked. Bang, bang, bang. Well, I still got six more doors I can blow up with this motherfucker.
Yeah.
Good point.
That's how that shit works.
It's got big teeth, and I may die, but it's going to be, you know, with a few less teeth, perhaps.
Well, my next goal is
might make it figure that I'm not worth the trouble.
If it's big...
It's going to chip a tooth on my skull.
If it's big and it's got a lot of sharp teeth, your number one goal after that is you arm yourself. If the weapon you have is not doing any good, you must arm yourself to the second level, which is then to get a car. Then you draw it into the open and you hit it with a Buick or something to that effect. Even if it does not kill it, it will definitely slow it the fuck down or pin it next to a wall. In which case you can then go away and light the car on fire.
And if it's big enough, try as it's... chewing on you to avoid the teeth and go deeper into the mouth. I know this is, it's sort of like when someone attacks you with a baseball bat, you got to get close.
That's right.
You dive into that throat and then perhaps you can go from
there. I've seen those movies, yeah.
And another good one is if a dog bites you in the hand, this is going to sound crazy, jam your fist down its throat.
Right.
Dog changes its mind about the good ideaness of this approach. Good ideaness? I invented a bad term.
Of course, only use this approach if the dog is already biting your fist.
Or
under no circumstances,
going to bite you
look at a dog and
do
say,
it.
I think I'm going
to
jam my fist down its mouth just to see
too.
What happens.
That'll work, too.
Let's start grabbing.
Had a dog, yep. If he's biting you, you stick your arm into his mouth, and he's all like, no, this is I'm in control here. What are you doing?
Hey, this is my mouth. This is not supposed to go past.
What I do usually at that stage is I'll just let him bite onto my cross arm, and then I slip the members of his jaw on either side of his head.
I like dogs.
And then that's nice, but if he's chewing on my arm, this motherfucker's
now
tofu,
falls into,
okay?
Falls into the category enemy.
Enemy. An enemy is to be dispatched as quickly and effectively as possible.
There's always that little spot in the back of the skull that all vertebrates have, whereas there's like basically an exposed spot of spinal column.
Yeah, you insert ice pick here.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, the other thing is you can grab a dog's legs and spread them. They're not made to go that way. It's free. No, really. If you're you're fighting a war and
you don't have to make it sound nice. A dog jumps at you, tries to bite you, you tear its legs apart.
You put your arm in its mouth, you pull its head onto your arm, and then you knee it into the chest until it breaks. It will break.
When I was 13 years old, I'm walking home from school, this Doberman comes running out of this building, jumps on me, starts chewing on my arm. I grabbed a hold of the dog's throat as I'm knocked down, didn't plan. This was not like some sort of dramatic idea. I was just panicked. I put my hand on the dog's throat and squeezed. The dog basically let go of my arm and started making hacking noises because I had just crushed its throat. Cop runs out and shoots the dog in front of me. The trauma's coming. It turned out the dog was rabid.
Great.
Ooh.
Do you know how they used to give you those shots?
Stomach painkillers?
No, in the sternum. Through the sternum. They have to give you a local for the pain for the first one. 2 weeks of shots. 13 needles all together.
Beats getting rabies, though, don't it?
Yep.
The closest I've ever been, and I used to have a paper route.
Hydrophobia?
You get hydrophobia from rabies?
Hydrophobia
is hydrophobia.
What?
Hydrophobia.
Explain it further.
That's what rabies is.
Hydrophobia is basically fear of water. Rabies causes this intense psychological, I don't know why, you're afraid of water.
Okay.
During rabies. Yes.
Is that why they're all foaming at the mouth, because they don't drink any water?
Yes.
It's a form
of encephalitis. It causes your brain to swell inside your, not the membrane, your actual brain tissue itself, to swell until you die.
Whoa.
One person has survived actually having the disease. Whoa. She's in the Guinness Book of World Records back in 1950 in Jamaica.
That's a badass grandma.
She fucking survived having this when she was like 12 years old.
Like she never got a shot, never.
No, yeah, she actually suffered through the disease.
She made it.
Yeah, but the weird part was she was like also previously buried and created zombies too.
No, that's Haiti. This is Jamaica. Yeah.
That'd be pretty cool. I was hoping that when I was in the Army, actually, there was a chance I might get sent to Haiti. You know, that's fully what I was doing. I'm like, damn, I'm going zombie hunting. I got me this AR-15 here.
I read Serpent in a Rainbow, yeah.
Yeah, I read Serpent in a Rainbow.
I know all about
it. I saw Believers, fuck yeah. Bring it on. Ula Dambala, yeah. I got something for your Dambala right here, motherfucker.
The thing is, Believers was, for those of you who actually care about the difference, it was Santeria. Whereas Haiti is actually voodoo.
Fuck him. Somebody kills a chicken.
Isn't Santeria what those people believe in that think that, like, Elian Gonzalez is, like, Jesus or something?
Yes.
This is little known fact about the Elian Gonzalez story. About two stories.
What, haven't that fucking kid? Isn't he dead yet?
No, he's back in Cuba.
He's a big shit.
About two doors down. Like, this is something you didn't get as much coverage. This is
they
really awesome.
They wanted to keep this out of the news.
There was about two doors down. There was a house which was like a place of worship for Santeria, and the people there totally full on thought that Elian Gonzalez was like the second coming of Christ because he was a child. There
were
these fucking religious paintings with, like, you know, dolphins dancing around him and, like, wings and angels and beams of light on the side of the house.
She's not making this shit up. These people were that fucked up.
They were renting out their front lawns like everyone else in the neighborhood to the local media outlets, but the cameras were like, I think we'll face the cameras this way. Let's not deal with that.
Got sent to this in the IRC. Official Florida presidential ballot. Follow the arrows and punch the appropriate dot.
No kidding. Yeah.
That's pretty
sweet.
Funny.
Bad statistical design 101 should probably feature a picture of that butterfly ballot.
You know, like, I think Gore should win, but they did have a chance to object to their ballots, so...
Did they?
They didn't object to it. So what can you do? It's too late now.
Actually, they did. They just couldn't get through to the people who were in charge of it.
Apparently, they had filed something, but it was not actually. But
there were complaints all day long.
There's also people that said, like, supposedly, if you, according to the laws, if you do your ballot and you're like, oh shit, I fucked up, you're supposed to be able to go to the person saying, okay, look, I screwed up this ballot. Can you give me a fresh one so I can do it right? They're supposed to trash that one. You know, void it and give you a new one.
You still get the bad ballot.
The problem is, if you realize you make a mistake, you're supposed to be able to get a fresh ballot, and that's the one that actually gets counted.
Sure.
They were saying, sorry, you got your one ballot. You're fucked. Sorry.
Yeah.
Furthermore, in the most case, I don't think people knew that they pressed the wrong button, assuming they did, right? They wouldn't have punched that hole if they knew it was the wrong one.
There's a lot of people after the fact who realize this, and there's the thing that's pissing me off right now is, okay, the Buchanan, amazingly enough, this surprise,
yes.
he's saying, look, those votes are not for me. I don't want those votes.
Did you see the graph?
It would be nice if they were for me, but they're not.
It's like,
and he said,
based on 100%, 5555565565, 100%, 5565, one place.
The statistical odds of that are something like several in the, like, we were counting, it was something in the 1,000 million range, I think, 55,000 million range.
He said, those weren't for me. Something fucked up. Those weren't for me.
I heard one analysis; it was in the trillions.
And the thing that has just got like steam blown out of my ears was hearing that there are Bush people out there saying, no, that strongly Democratic, they have a streak of Buchanan voters. It's Buchanan territory. Bullshit.
The area is mostly old Jews. Buchanan was the guy who, in case you might have forgotten this a few months earlier, said in his book, you know, Hitler wasn't really a bad guy. He was just misunderstood.
This is
the aging Jewish voter.
He's the guy who had Ku Klux Klan members working for his election committee.
I know.
If the aging Jewish community in Palm Beach actually did vote this heavily for Buchanan, then that takes self-loathing to a whole new level.
I think that you should give me the phone right now.
Okay.
What's the phone number?
Coming in.
We want that on the air. Okay.
Hi there, Chris. Ringleader?
Yes.
I heard you had something you wanted to say.
Oh, I'm just listening to the show, and I'm just falling out of my chair with the propaganda you people are spewing with complete lack of credibility.
Okay, did you have a rebuttal?
Yes. The butterfly ballot in question was successfully confirmed by both the Democratic and the Republican parties prior to the election. It had to be approved by the local Democratic candidate. It was. That's number one. Number two, the comment that Buchanan shouldn't get any votes. In 1996, Bob Dole, who, you know, is not quite as far right as Buchanan, and Bob Dole got a significant section in that area. In this one, I think Buchanan got 3,456 votes. Buchanan claims he should have got probably about 1,600. So about 1,500 votes that went to Buchanan should have gone for Al Gore. There's no question about that. But the big issue here, and even what the Democrats are stating, is 19,200 people's vote in Palm Beach County, were thrown out because of voting irregularities, in most cases because two separate holes were punched in the ballot. And they're making it sound like this is an unheard of event. But in the 1996 election, in the exact same county, 18,141 votes were thrown out for the same thing. So the increase in the amount of votes that were thrown out is statistically equal to the growth in population in the county. Yet the Democrats make it sound like all 19,200 people's votes would have went for Gore. Irregardless of any of those differences, they're now claiming that the outcome of the Palm Beach County vote will determine the presidential election because whoever wins there will have the popular vote. As they are now showing, with the final vote, Bush very likely will win the national popular vote total. It's a possibility. It's less than 120,000 split between Gore and Bush at this point. If you, depending on who you look at, with about 1.2 to 1.3 million outstanding absentee ballots nationwide yet to be counted. Predominantly, historically, nationwide absentee ballots have been about a 57% have historically gone to Republican candidates due to most of the people all overseas are businessmen or military individuals or, to be blunt, rich people. They tend to vote for the Republican Party. But my point is, everyone here makes it sound like the Bush campaign has done something wrong. I don't see any of the people here that make it sound like Gore should win because of the Palm Beach event making any complaints about what's happened in like Wisconsin, where the Gore campaign took homeless people and in front of news cameras gave them cigarettes as long as they would get up and go vote for Gore. I mean, that's documented. There's a court case pending right now. You can go on to the CNN website and check directly that there is investigations that the Gore campaign effectively bribed homeless people to vote for them in the Wisconsin event, which is 11 electoral votes for that state alone. New Mexico is another example. New Mexico was initially declared a Gore victory. It's now been pulled back because Bush, on a recount, is in the lead there. And there's ongoing states that are very similar. The danger here is the moment that the Gore campaign asked for a hand recount, they are now no longer accepting the machine to determine if someone voted one way or another. Now they're now trying to, quote, determine the intentions of the voter. I consider that an incredibly dangerous precedent because I don't presume to know, based on looking on a piece of paper, that I can determine the intent of the person who punched that piece of paper. I think it's safer to let a machine decide one way or another because, as they've stated, the machine is not a Republican, it's not a Democrat, it's a bloody machine. There's no bias. Every human being, regardless of what they say, has a bias. I have an incredibly right-wing-leaning bias, so my opinion is that way. I know that. So I would never assume anyone sitting in that room would trust me to count ballots. The same as I'd never trust any of you to count ballots because, you know, you've got some pretty good biases there. But
Chris,
a machine is a fair assumption in between.
Chris.
What?
You're going to be very surprised at this.
What?
I partially agree with you.
Oh, my God, the asteroid should hit any moment.
The problem is there were so many irregularities on both sides. It was so fucked up and so screwed around, I am so ashamed.
No, how do you say there are so many irregularities? The percentage of irregularities is actually lower this time than the 1996 election.
This time it's statistically
significant.
The only significant.
Reason that it's relevant this time is it's the first time that the population has been so equally divided that it's relevant. In any democratically elected government, there's usually anywhere from 0.5% to a 1% variation of lost votes due to irregular voting habits or discrepancies.
I'm also,
but it normally just doesn't matter because
exactly.
It's so clear.
I'm also talking about there were some events where, like, for instance, black voters in certain ridings being told that the machines were not working, come back later. When they came back later, the place was closed.
Mm-hmm.
There's like, I'm not.
How about judges opening?
Yes, I know. I was just going to say that. A judge, basically, in a mostly Democratic area,
for 2 hours longer,
allowing the thing to be open for two.
Get enough seniors who are predominantly Democrats
in to vote in time.
In
I agree with
time.
You. No, I was just going to, like I said, I was going to say that one. The problem was there were so many irregularities, like I said, on both sides. Hell, there was even one place where they had to shut down the fucking voter office because a bear had wandered into it, and they had to wait until they could get a sheriff in there to shoot it.
My point being is that happens in every single election. You can find examples across the whole country, and up till now, everyone just basically assumes there's going to be problems for Gore, there'll be problems for Bush, there'll be problems for both sides in quality of vote or incompetence or
the thing, my problem is, given these events, mm-hmm. given also the fact of the argument that has occurred in the media,
mm-hmm.
how the hell can America trust whoever the hell gets in there? Because I tell you the truth, no matter who gets in there, I'm going to feel in some small way that they stole the election.
Yeah, but that's the whole point.
Hang on.
In previous years, it didn't matter. It wasn't this close. It didn't come down to 150 votes to see who the president was. There were thousands of votes. The error was insignificant because of
how many.
The amount of error, the plus or minus error, didn't matter. It was clear, including that error.
If you have a 60-40 split, it doesn't matter if you've got 1% or 2% error.
Yeah.
You know, this time it does matter.
And so that's the big question. What do you do about it?
In the future, what they should move to is, and what they have seen in some of the more expensive states, but it comes down to dollars, is a touchscreen voting method, which they've utilized in a few states that have a picture of the candidate with a big X, and you just touch it, and that's your vote, and it prints a confirmation for you to confirm, and you say, yes, I want to confirm I'm voting for Al Gore. Boom, you hit it again. And you voted. You
and the confirmation
and
is...
And you not only have a name, but you have a picture.
Yeah.
And do you take that piece
logo.
Of paper and put it in a box?
No, it's electronic. Yes, it prints it out. You confirm if it is... It prints out what you want, then you just slip it into the box as a physical manifestation of your choice.
Perfect.
Yeah, right.
Perfect. That's excellent.
That is the perfect system. We should honestly go for that because what's occurred, like I said, it's a fucking shame. It is literally...
No matter who wins,
why have they got
it's going to be the question that there was a tainted vote.
I have an argument against doing that.
How so?
Here is the argument. It costs a great big giant fucking load of money to bring that system in.
Mm-hmm.
We've also
That's not true because Geeks & Us could set up all of the United States with touchscreen monitors.
We've already just argued that in almost all the cases, it doesn't you don't need that sure of a system because it's usually very clear. And the other thing is, Sean will be very upset that all this money that could go to something important is being wasted on computers for voting.
Absolutely not true, man. Tally up how much it costs to hire 20 people to do counting for a day.
Yes.
And the cost of a computer
people,
you is
gotta remember,
already covered.
Every person
you still need those 20
an
people.
Independent elected member
keep
of the voting council and a representative from each of the parties sitting there. So for every counter, there's actually three people sitting there counting.
Okay, wait a minute. You're going to take jobs away from Americans and give them to computers?
Absolutely.
Fucking right.
We're the future, baby.
We're gonna,
if we could just find a way to give it to prisoners, we'd have it all set. All right.
We're going to wrap this up. Say what the hell.
The one thing I'd like to mention, though, is like with the ballots. I think it's fucked up that they've got different ballots in every fucking district, and everybody's
it's
got
kind of
everyone.
The one
thing I'd like
leaving
to point,
and falling asleep.
The one thing that's bugging me.
And it's Bart.
The one thing that's bugging me is he's saying, oh well, they made the same mistake the previous election. Were they using the same fucked up butterfly ballots the previous election? I don't know that. I mean, if they were, then I can understand if the error rate was similar. But
get back to prostitutes and blowjobs.
No, I was, anal sex and fart smell. How was that?
Woohoo! No, I agree.
Fart smell doesn't smell as bad in here this week as it did last week.
God. Let's just move on because we can see this debate on CNN.
Yeah.
That's true.
Right. Yeah, but not
24 hours a day,
forward.
7 days a week, the Florida recount. Boom, 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 boom.
Thank you, Romulus.
Like I said,
let's get some more pundits.
What's Romulus saying?
Nothing.
What do you mean?
Okay, are you ready for Tales from
the
Street?
The news networks just love this because their ratings are up.
Oh, yeah. It's gives them lots to talk about.
Yet? Oh, damn. Change
and the comedians.
What did
work for the comedians.
I think the best line was said by David Letterman when he said, and I quote, so let me get this straight.
Let me get this straight. Okay, no. Al Gore hasn't yet been elected, and neither is George W. Bush. We don't actually have a new president chosen yet. Can't we just leave it that way?
Yeah, I think I heard that on a bunch of shows.
I am so agreeing with that.
Or the host of the Daily Show, Jon Stewart, whose reaction was what I think most people's was, holy fucking shit.
Yeah, that sums it up. Let's start it.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Batten down your hatches and lock your doors. It's Ronan Medic's time once more for Tales from the Street. I've noticed a really distinct political turn to this particular thing, and it's kind of inspired a story involving spilt milk. So I decided to share this one. I was working, once again, at the place that's referred to as Pallet Jack Indy. Yes, once again, we get the joys of dealing with idiots on Pallet Jack swing way too fast in way too narrow a turn. In this particular episode, we have ourselves one young man booting along in said Pallet Jack at, once again, way too fast. To pass this along, lo and behold, there's this one innocent bathroom. Yes, this same bathroom, which happens to have been destroyed multiple times. One particular gentleman happens to be in this particular bathroom at this particular time. He's sitting there, apparently, rather innocently, doing his thing.
This bathroom is one of those porta-potty jobbies, right?
Yes, it is. Okay. It's the portable, semi-disposable. Blue rockets.
Pocket rockets.
Yeah. Yes. No, that's something else. That's something else different. Yes, so here he is, booting along at 40K. Once again, hacking on that little annoying horn. Once again, there's something spilled on the floor because, well, hey, no one bothers to clean up in this lovely place.
Splash.
Lo and behold, two pallets of milk doing 40 kilometers an hour now suddenly lose control. As suddenly, yes, two pallets of milk decide to go through this very thin drywall container.
No.
Shatter, explode, and cover this one poor gentleman in crates, cartons, milk, and all sorts of other hippie-doodle.
Oh, the pasteurization.
Oh.
Yes, he got homogenized.
Oh.
The mic wasn't on.
Your mic wasn't on. It was lost.
But you're not the one who receives this call. All of a sudden, chocolate. I get the milkshake. But mine's kind of lumpy.
She's proud of herself.
No, she's so smug. Look at that.
I made it funny.
That story is about curdles.
Snickers really satisfies.
Oh, God.
Look, there's the nuts, too.
So I get this call at the station.
Apparently milk doesn't do a buddy.
Pretty good.
Oh, my God. Where'd you go all night, folks?
Well, I guess you could say he got milk.
Oh.
God. So I get this call.
That's so funny.
Oh, my God. Pallet number 97 has gone straight through a wall. Again. And I'm like, oh, okay. Was anybody hurt? Well, we don't know yet. There's kind of a muffled sound.
Muffled?
muffled sound. Well, so I grab my gear and off I go. And we start tearing out. So, of course, start tearing through this. And I see this, like, sheet of white, and it's kind of on the floor, and it's kind of slowly oozing towards me. And there's odd little funny colors, a little bit of a blue streak, a little bit of a yellow streak, and a little bit. And I'm just kind of like, wow, this is kind of nasty.
Oh, yuck.
So eventually, we dig through the wall, what's left of it anyways. We dig through all the cartons and the pallets and the kind of this, coming from it, coming in this off distant tone, in the muffle of it, all these emptied and broken 4 liters. And lo and behold, we dig through, and there's this guy. And he's all fucked up, white from head to toe, kind of icky. The broken toilet seat was the clue for me, though.
Icky.
Icky.
As it turns out, he received himself one concussion.
Uh-huh.
One severe blow to the chest. Uh-huh. And the loving part, of course, is the chunks of porcelain they had to pull from his behind after we pulled him out.
Oh.
Because remember, the wall came through with all the milk and everything. And caused him, who was doing Mr. Number 2, to shatter the toilet while he was sitting on it. So, now, there you are, a full toilet seat with God knows what he was producing out his Number 2, with shards of porcelain and milk. It's known to be sanitary.
You know, when the milk goes bad, when it starts to go so sour, that is a smell you'd have to experience to believe. I cannot imagine a smell like that.
Okay, now, glad. I guess what the question everybody's asking is, the guy who was driving the forklift, did he get canned?
What are you talking about? He was put out to pasteurize.
Fuck!
Stop it!
I am just buttering you guys up.
God. Oh, you're reaching for that one. That's getting out of there.
That really sucks.
Yeah, this is getting pretty cheesy by now.
Oh,
stop! Yeah. All of you, stop it!
We apologize profusely.
Grab a chair and grab a loved one. It's time once again for Gross, 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 Gross Hospital Stories with your old Uncle Dak on Rant Radio. Rant Radio. Rant Radio. Rant Radio.
Thank you. Well, boys and girls, come on up on old Uncle Dak's lap.
No, you sick person.
No.
No, put the tent down.
Last time he Dak strapped my wrists together. I don't think I'll be playing this game again.
Put down the
Let Uncle Dak open up the old bottle of JD, take a couple of shots, and he'll tell you another bedtime story. Once upon a time, in case I hadn't mentioned it, I spent 5 years...
How long?
5 years working at a hospital, and in that time I saw many gross and disgusting things. This one hurt. This guy comes in with his girlfriend. He's not wearing many clothes. He's just got like a bathrobe on. She's not wearing many clothes either. Uh-huh. And he's bent over, like come in like
buckled.
I have to help him in to the stretcher, because we don't have any orderlies. Essentially, I am an orderly.
Don't ask how I got there, just get it out!
No, that would have been nice.
Oh.
I've heard this story before.
I have
It's too. Unpleasant.
So,
get the rest of us here.
So, I help him up onto the stretcher. When I help him up onto the stretcher, his bathrobe comes open. Now, normally I don't look at a man's crotch when his bathrobe comes open, but when you see something and it Lies. Catches your eye like this, you tend to notice it.
Oh, no.
His dick is not really hard, but it's half inflated and purple.
Ooh.
Here we go. Now, apparently, the story comes out. Him and his girlfriend were having fun, and she decided to twist over sideways. And she tore the blood vessels in the left side of his penis, giving him something called severe phlebitis.
Severe. So there's minor.
They're minor cases. If you've ever seen somebody with,
I call it severe.
If you've ever seen somebody with like broken blood vessels and varicose veins in their legs or feet,
yeah,
that's a minor case of phlebitis.
Oh, okay.
Now your penis is entirely composed of erectile tissue, which is nothing more than tons and tons of blood vessels.
Yeah.
So when you tear them, the blood flows out into the tissue and can't go back in. So what's happening? Every time your heart beats, it's pumping more blood into the area, causing it to swell like a balloon.
Shudder.
That's not good.
So,
this is what you like, pop it or what?
I have no idea. I honestly have no idea how they treat it, other than they went and started with getting an ice pack. And I didn't want to hang around to find out how this story ends.
Put me out. Put me out.
So, yeah.
Oh, he probably already wanted to be put out.
Yeah. I would be the angel. I would be the angel of that hospital. I would be the guy who makes his own hot shot compilation from Vietnam, like the morphine heroin compilation, where guys are like, oh my god! Ooh!
I'm feeling
that's
good.
Much better.
The whole time, this is
when my penis is huge and gigantic and purple.
That's why I get really excited.
I don't care how many drugs you pump into me. I'm not going to go, ooh, that's much better.
It's still purple.
Yeah!
The worst part was it wasn't like the whole thing was purple. It was half. Like one side was swelling. The other side wasn't. So you have an idea how that would bend things and just...
Twister.
Yeah. So the final bit that I love during all of this is the whole time the girlfriend is trying to explain what happened. And the only thing you really hear out of the guy is, bitch, you broke me.
Oh. Talk about your last ride.
Yep, no shit.
Wow.
That's really, really brutal.
There you go. There's your gross hospital story for the week. Savor that one. Pass it along to the children.
Sorry about that one, Curly.
I suppose I should give kind of an update as to what happened with myself earlier this week with the car accident.
Oh, yes. Opportune time to do that, actually.
A lot of people were wondering.
Then we're going to open the phone lines after that.
There was a huge, you know, everyone was like, oh my God,
Chuck's dead! I heard he was dead from a friend's dog.
People were phoning me. I got rear-ended.
Chuck's dead.
Lassie?
Sean fell down the well?
So what happened was I was rear-ended. My car, I was bumped. The guy was doing 20 kilometers an hour, okay, which is a pretty good bump. Actually, yeah. I can't really say how fast the guy was going, because I don't know. Okay, the car was fine. Okay,
that was 12 miles an hour,
American. Not a fucking scratch. The only problem was, see, is I was at a stoplight, and I was twisting because I was adjusting the stereo, and I went bang, and my whole back went twist, torque, snap back. And then I feel this, wow, I feel really warm and numb all up and down my back. And the guy comes up, he's like, hey, you want to pull over to the side of the road? I'm like, fuck you. I'm not moving. I feel warm and numb all up and down my back. I'm not fucking moving, right? So I went.
How well did he take this? He went.
I didn't look at him. I just said, "Fuck you." I'm not moving. And I'm wearing this large cult fight jacket. And he's looking at it. And there's logos.
He's reading it.
I got shit in my car, and he's like, "Okay, maybe I shouldn't fucking." So he's like, "Fine." The ambulance shows up. Fire, ambulance, police, all my guys. I spine board, and off I go.
Explain what a spine board is for those who have never had
it. Did you say it last week?
It's a torture rack, actually. It's a modern-day torture
rack. No. That was a great part. We mentioned this last week. Now we've had somebody who's got to experience it.
A spine board is a long piece of plywood. The weird thing was is when I was on the piece of plywood, because I'm tall, my ankles were resting on the edge of it.
Digging into it.
Digging into them. Here's the good part. I didn't notice.
You
didn't finish? You didn't feel it?
I didn't feel it.
You had no feeling?
I didn't feel that. I felt really warm and numb.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, it's either called shock or something. I'm like, she's like,
pinched nerve.
She's like, yeah. Can you feel it? Can you feel me touching your feet? Yeah. Yeah, that can't be that comfortable. What? You're resting on the edge of the spine board. Oh, really? I can't feel that. Oh, okay.
There's good news and bad news.
When a paramedic hears you, if you're ever in an accident and you hear a paramedic at some point go, oh, start worrying, okay?
This equivalent of a doctor going, oops. just a little bit of insight.
We're just giving a little bit better bedside manner, so we just kind of go.
Never good.
We just kind of go, oh, really? And
and move on and phone someone else to help you.
Yeah.
That's when the doctor looks at your x-rays and goes, there is no God. That's when from bad to worse.
How many hours were you on the spine board?
How long? I spent 3 hours tied to this fucking spine board.
Wow.
Halfway through it, I'm like, you know, I'll be paralyzed for the rest of my life if I could just get the fuck off this spine board for 10 seconds.
Do you want your last steps?
What was the lesson we learned last week?
I know
week,
what that
John.
Guy was thinking.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, well, that's not that bad.
Yeah. You remember the story?
I had to take a piss too, ironically enough, and I'm like,
I am so sorry I told that last week.
And I'm like, you know,
you remember
I can
the story?
Hold it. Yeah, oh yeah, but I would have pissed my pants. Long ago. I'm not proud. What are you doing? I'm pissing my pants. Why? Well, I'm
it can
part
be
of the
cleaned
show.
Up later.
What the hell show?
To the board. Did you hear last week?
Did you hear last week's What the Hell show? Well, that's why. So why don't you go get one of these nice nurses to come mop up my fucking sweaty stain?
Actually, if you ask, yes, really nice. You
I'm
get a cute one to hold
because I like walking.
you can have a nice nurse hold it for you while you go in a bottle.
He's a married man. Really.
I would be a married man. That's how that shit works. And I've seen the nurses at Langley.
Yeah, I know. I don't blame you there.
And none of them are what I would consider to be nice. They all look like Mel, the cook on Alice. So,
nice.
Yep. Oh yeah. I'm not going to argue with you.
Oh,
it's like, fuck
God.
That. You know, I always see the porn movies, and the nurses are always like super tit model fucking psycho bitches.
Not so, huh?
That's
not
because most of the women in pornos are super tit.
Why is it all the women in hospitals have like uber butch haircuts?
They all look like can't be pulled out.
They all look like they're fucking patchouli wearing Lilith Fair junkies. Every last one of them, man. Every last one of them. They all do. They're all like, you know, whiff of patchouli hits you with a chair. Man! You know?
I don't know. I'm thinking of my friend Joy. She's got like long, long straight hair, and she's and she also like was working at the hospital, so she was like until like a month before she was due to have her baby. So that's pretty.
Wow.
By the way, if you would like to get yourself killed instantly and know the most amount of pain you can ever possibly experience.
Oh, tell us.
I was waiting for this.
Take a pregnant nurse, uh-huh. Have half a dozen cops, have three security guards, have two male doctors, plus a couple of orderlies and a cleaner, and shove the pregnant nurse. Just shove her. That's all it requires for you to experience more pain than you thought possible in that quick an amount of moment.
Hey, I got one better for you. I got one better for you, actually. Why don't you just have anybody who's pregnant, have them shoved with any number of us around?
Oh, yeah. Sure. No.
Like driving down the street, bitch. Shove. Motherfucker, I'm parking here. I'm going to cut his head off. You want to join on the ditch? That's all good. Otherwise, I suggest you fucking park. Nick, hi there. My name's Sean. This is my cookie. I'm going to be your murderer for today.
Back relax, right?
You don't have to do this. I know I don't have to. I consider this a service to the community. Motherfucker, I give you 20 minutes to start running. God works in mysterious ways.
I don't think the term you were looking for was murder. I think it was grim servant of death. Yes.
I'll be your grim servant of death.
And I'll be our agent of justice this afternoon. You there pushing the pregnant lady? First I'm going to cut your feet off. And then I'll allow you to run on your bloody little spots to make a small game for children to try to imitate those spots where you marked. Oh. Have a nice day there, Pogo. Off you go. Thunka, 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 thunk. You know?
Yeah. You know the worst part of this is?
Splash drawing.
Actually, it's more about spuck.
You know the really sick part about all this?
Or if you're concerned that they're going to be followed, spuck.
What I don't understand is, let's turn the way back machine to Jeffrey Dahmer here. Jeffrey Dahmer had this 14-year-old boy who was supposedly a lover. The child escaped the house where Dahmer was killing and eating people. The cops showed up and gave the kid back to Dahmer, saying that was a lover's spat.
Oh my.
Did they not fucking notice that this child was like 14 years old? More than that.
Oh, yeah, he looks young for his age. He gets carted all the time. It's like the family joke. Yeah.
Okay, oh, I'm sorry. What do you suppose this child was saying? He was a
He's killing and eating people!
He's saying he's got people in his fucking freezer! Okay, I'm sorry.
I don't care about lima beans and a nice Chianti. Okay, get me the fuck out of the house.
I'm sorry, it's like, okay, I don't care who it is. It could be a small gray alien. I'd stop. Grim's like, I know this is highly irregular. I realize I'm a gray alien, but I'm being kept prisoner in that house over there, and he's eating aliens. I'd say, damn, you're a gray alien. Got this shotgun here. Sit in the back of the car.
You're an alien. You need me my help? Damn straight. I'll help you out.
Okay, after I go deal with this motherfucker, we're going to be talking about some Roswell shit, and I need a Star Cruiser.
Yeah.
This here's the Virus Manifesto. Read this, okay? I'll be right back.
What kind of cool tech you got?
We'll be talking about your tech situation.
I'll be right back.
I'll be right back. Is there any more of them in there? No problem. We'll sort this shit out. Morning. Hey, what's with the axe? Thunk. You know.
Catch him in the morning. Yeah.
Morning. Hi there. I'm actually a law enforcement officer, but today I quit just as soon as I met the gray alien. So actually, I have no authority. Please ignore this uniform. Anyone asks, just regard me as a murderer. Bang! Bang! I'm impersonating an officer. It should be noted I had quit 20 minutes ago. Bang! This is in no way bad against the law enforcement community.
Say, you got a shovel?
Say, that's... You know, normally, if you hide in the closet, it's good if you don't piss yourself. That way, I won't see it running out from underneath. Boom, splinter. Ooh, that's going to get infected.
You have no idea how amused I am by all this. The sick part.
Walking through my house. Now all I got to do is fire three rounds into the ceiling and claim I fired them first. Have a day. You know, like, fuck you.
That works everywhere except Canada.
Everywhere except Canada. But now what I don't understand is how the fuck did those cops do that shit? To be like, he's killing and eating people.
That's here a good one.
Bud. Your kid have kid. A ho-ho.
Tell him silly story.
You know that he said that or you suspect that he
no,
said that?
No, the child was screaming his lungs out. The child's like, yeah.
Curious, kids have a temper tantrum, ignore him.
Whatever happened to that kid again?
He got killed and eaten.
Killed and eaten.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. You don't say.
Yeah, so it kind of makes you wonder, you know, like, and Jeffrey Dahmer, oh, yeah, he got fucked up the ass with a broomstick till he died.
No, it wasn't fucked up the ass with a broomstick till he died. They beat the fuck out of him, took a broomstick, broke it, put it in his ass, and then kicked it until it basically punctured various important organs.
I see no problem here.
I'm trying to find a downside.
Did I say I was crying?
No.
And how did they catch him?
Well, he was in the cell. He couldn't really have anywhere to run.
No, but don't they put these people in protective custody?
Oh yeah, but the cop went. Oh, accidentally left six doors open, leading to the cleaning party, which was handpicked, I might add. They brought up Jacko. Jacko is the guy who we're not too sure how long he's been here, but Crazy Jed, who works in the gun tower, put him in there apparently, and he was here when he started. Jacko's been in solitary for the last 55 years and doesn't age.
He only has two rules: no women, no children.
Jacko, we gave him a metal spoon to eat his yogurt, and 3 months later, he killed this guy. So we won't let the dog chew on him for half an hour a day. We'll just let him sit in solitary. And that's his treat. You know, Jacko's a good guy like that. You know, seriously. Seriously, I don't understand.
Hey, raise your hand if you have any problems with this.
Yeah, it's absolutely rude. People sit there.
No, I have problems have with problem? It being the official way things are handled, but yeah. I have no problem with it being handled that way.
I do have a problem with that, actually. See, the problem with that is Jeffrey Dahmer only got killed horribly once.
Yeah, no shit.
And
this is
how many
cult.
Yeah. I think that if the inmates had been smarter, they could have maybe had those doors left open 6 or 7 dozen more times accidentally.
Well, the thing is, too, we got to
start with your left hand.
See, there's a wonderful thing which people need to worry about in the IRC. There's a guy by the name of Joseph Mengele. Joseph Mengele was the blue-eyed angel of death during World War II. Now, this motherfucker,
Joe,
a handsome boy he was,
this guy used to, like, he did all these really nasty, live, living genetic experiments. This guy was the death walker for all of fucking for World War II. He was the most hated motherfucker. Some of the shit he did will never be released. Okay, he did like live vivisection on people. Just sick. Sick, deranged.
But remember, where was this?
This is in
Joseph Mengele.
Where?
Oh, in Auschwitz. Oh,
okay. Auschwitz Birkenau, wasn't it, Brian?
Birkenau
or Birkenau.
In a concentration camp where they kept
Auschwitz
Jews.
Was his major stomping ground.
Yeah.
So in any case, after World War II, he fucked off on a Vatican passport. And he wound up dying, a ripe old man with grandkids, walking down a beach, actually.
In the first dozen or so years after the war, he was living peacefully in Germany, and nobody was fucking with him.
He could stay in Germany, and nobody bothered.
That's amazing.
Nobody bothered him. And then he wound up moving to Brazil, living in a beach house in Brazil, and he was walking in the surf one morning on a bright, crisp morning. He had a massive, massive heart attack, fell into the surf, and died with his family around him, a ripe old age. Now...
Any justice?
I don't know. No. I don't know if there is a God. I don't know. I think there's something. You know, I don't know if it's Brahma, Vishnu, Buddha, whatever. Okay? But I guarantee, even the Buddhists would sit back and go, yeah, that fat man had a word with him when he showed up. it'd be like all sorts of
stuff. Sat down and had a talk.
It'd be like Uncle Leon in Snow Crash there, you know, showing up with the fucking scalpel razor saying, hi there, I'm Buddha and I punish and I'm here to fuck you up. You know, like, holy cow.
There's a couple of other things that came out of that. And then one of the things that really, really kind of turns my stomach, and I've had people explain this point to me, and I'm sorry, I cannot think of a logical explanation for it. No, more to the point, I can't accept even a logical explanation for it.
What's that?
When they found all of the Jews
in
the concentration camps, they moved them out at first. And then they had what they called displaced pre-people. They had hundreds, thousands of displaced people. And they didn't want all of the displaced people, you know, wandering the fucking countryside trying to find their families, who's alive, what have you.
Yes, so what do they do?
What did they do?
They decide to put them back in the same camps.
They decide to hold them back in the camps until they could decide what to do with each person.
With the Jewish problem.
Yes.
Wow. They were back in the camps, so they were giving food and clothing, and they kind of moved them out so they had a little bit more room for the bedding other than the 3 cubic feet per person that they had when they were there the first time under the Nazis. And they held them there for like another 2 years. And anyone wonders why the Jews, you know, are a little...
embittered?
A little embittered, you know, a little basically kind of heavy on the concept of never again.
So who did this? Who kept
mainly,
them back in
mainly
the camp?
This was the British.
Oh, yeah?
Okay, hold it now.
Mainly was the British, but it was almost all of the Allies knew about this and were either turning the other way or the thing. The reason that I'm not really entirely blaming the British, but I'm pointing a finger in that direction because they were the ones who... Everyone kind of broke up what they were doing in helping Europe, and displaced persons was under the purview of the British government. Okay? So that's the only real reason they get any blame in this. Everyone else knew about this. They just didn't care.
Well, also, what else could they have done?
What else? No, I understand. I understand
like
there was
got
like...
got hundreds of thousands of people. Let's just let them... You
no,
know,
no, no, no. I agree. No, I agree. Maybe they couldn't basically, you know, hold them. They couldn't basically take these people and... you know, just allow them to wander the four corners of the earth, you know, starving and creating more problems and more social issues. I can understand.
Also, a good number of these motherfuckers are crazy.
I can understand. I can even accept that they needed to hold them until they could work out something for that. But to put them back in the same camps is beyond a level of insensitivity.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, also, we've also got to bear in mind the war.
Sensitivity cost money.
It was a war. They were probably...
The war just ended. It was a nasty fucking war. Okay, so it was a really shitty thing. And yeah, that was shitty, but I can't really throw rocks at the British for that because could I, in my, you know, snap kick judgment here, figure out, I don't know about the 2 year thing. I don't know. I don't have the facts on that. Okay, I don't have the facts on that.
But there were millions, right?
There were millions.
So 2 years is, I don't know what you would do with millions of people.
I don't have enough information. I don't have enough information.
I didn't know about this one either until I watched a special on PBS on Palestine. Just a couple of years back, and it was the first time I had even heard about this one. This one was beyond a shock for me. This one was
the stunner. I've seen the same special.
I was fucking stunned.
That's the thing with history. We get is like, okay, then there was World War II, and there was the Battle of this and the Battle of that, and then we won, and it's over.
Yeah. No, it's never.
No, but that's like that's the way it gets presented in the history classes. You know,
and that's why everyone goes back home.
Doesn't work that
depends
way.
Depends on what history class you're in.
I don't know. It seems like in typical high school, like history class ends with the Allied victory in World War II. After that, it's just like, there was some post-war stuff. There was the 50s, because
there was no actual fighting over here in North America, so we kind of gloss over the fact that, you know, the South Pacific and Europe in particular spent the next 10 years climbing out of the rubble and trying to rebuild.
And when we say climbing out of the rubble, if you've ever seen photos of what Germany looked like,
Or France, or the Netherlands, basically, after the war was over.
It looked like fucking after the bomb.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not kidding. It was beyond insane. You can't imagine. People were living in fucking, not burned out hovels. They were living in holes for fucking months.
The other thing is, the British started bombing. The Allies started the bombing of towns in World War II, not the Germans. The Germans retaliated.
It actually
probably saved England too that the Germans retaliated, because instead of going after destroying the RAF, they then switched target to bombing the towns, which.
Well, militarily, I think we all kind of agree that Goring was forget about the fact
any
that he
man
was
that dressed up in a pink
forget
tutu.
Forget about the fact that he was a tutu.
Not be commanding
he was bombers. A tutu wearing, you know,
you
drug
got a
using.
With
no, I don't have
transgendered
a. I have a
people.
Problem with transgendered homosexuals who like to take little boys in the back of their bombers and do things.
That's not fair. That's not fair, Matic. You have a problem with anyone who takes little boys in the back.
Okay, Boston.
Another one that I haven't been able to wrap my head around World War II since we're apparently on the topic is the high mercury content in Swiss gold coins around that period.
Yeah!
I wonder how that mercury got in those coins. Anybody have any ideas? Girl on the left, I'm sure you've got a couple ideas how you get a lot of mercury and
gold
coins.
Could it have anything to do with recent judgments on, like, you know, war reparations in the international courts?
To sound it
much?
To sound it out for those of you who aren't picking up on this, fillings used to be made out of gold. Bridgework used to be made out of gold. All the stuff
with
that they
mercury
and they what
mercury
they do is you
amalgam.
Take mercury amalgam. You take gold and mercury, melt them together. You're able to meld it quite easily, and then it hardens. So, as we all know, the Germans were ripping. I shouldn't say the Germans. The Nazis in the camps were ripping teeth out left, right, and center that had any ounce of gold in it, and melting it down. And all of that got moved to fucking Switzerland.
And bank accounts, baby.
And it just took until, what, last year before they finally fessed up and said, you know, we might have had some.
I'm sorry. That's why you ever see these really old Nazi hunters who work for the Mossad?
Worse. The Simon Wiesenthal Society. The Simon Wiesenthal Foundation.
Who's this?
Simon Wiesenthal was...
He's been the chief Nazi Jewish Nazi hunter for, like, forever.
What's his history?
Oh, this guy was in a camp. He got out, and
he's like, "Wow, I've got cause and purpose in my life."
Yes, yes.
It was his people that tracked down Eichmann.
Eichmann, I'm sorry, I'm not.
He was another
Adolf Eichmann, the one who was living in South America, who they caught up with in about 61, I think it was.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And they took him back to Israel, tried him, and executed him.
How'd they kill him?
Hanging.
Yeah, I think it was hanging.
Hanging.
But as they fucking had him dead to rights.
No, Wiesenthal is also
sloth.
Wiesenthal has the Simon Wiesenthal Foundation has their own website.
Sloth is the ultimate punishment. I'm sorry.
Look it up. They can basically give you more information about them and their history than we can.
Wouldn't
here.
Wouldn't that just fucking kick ass if Culp found some fucking Nazi war criminal?
Whoa!
Actually, at that point, we basically. I'm sorry, you guys.
How old are they now?
Should just basically slap on the capes because you've just reached the superhero status.
Yeah,
we're
breaking people out of jail, saving landmines.
What could be the youngest Nazi? They were recruited at 60
you,
years old.
You're that Hitler youth that put 50 to death.
Yeah.
You're only 60 now.
That's how old they would be?
That's what some people say. Maybe it's because I'm Irish. You know, well, he's an old man now. And I'm like, it's surprising what the new advances
old
in nanotech
man.
Are going to do. I'm going to keep this fucker alive for 10, 20 more years and torture the shit out of him.
And isn't it strange that there's this universal thing in law, no matter where you go, there's no statute of limitations on murder?
Death. Death is permanent for the people it happens to, so it should be permanent for the people who do it.
People, like, the one thing that struck me is I remember seeing this one documentary, and it just sort of showed me people don't change. What they were interviewing is they found these girls, like, there had been, apparently, shortly before the war broke out, the Germans had put a whole bunch of money into this big arts festival show, the Great Bavarian State. And what they did is they chased, and there was a lot of, you know, a lot of young kids were involved in like organizing events and doing dance and stuff. And they tracked down a bunch of these women who had been sort of the pretty dancing ladies and stuff. And these were now like old ladies, and they talked to them. And they were sort of, and they had the narrator explaining, okay, one of the guys who was organizing this was one of the Nazi generals. He would have this habit of picking one of the, you know, prettiest cities girls, taking her home, doing all kinds of crazy-ass sadomasochistic shit to her. Masochistic, sorry. Just completely fucking this girl up, if not more or less killing her. And then sort of tossing her out and picking another one the next night. They talked to these women. They knew about this now. They had learned about this. And they were like, oh, yeah, he was kind of an icky, gross kind of guy. He was, ooh, yeah. They were talking like a bunch of fucking teenagers. Because they were teenagers back then. It blew my mind because these women knew that this psycho was going out and basically taking their friends and, you know, using them up and spitting them out. And they were talking like a bunch of fucking teenagers. If those women are like that now, I'm pretty sure that those the old Nazi bastards that were that they were having to work with probably haven't changed that much either.
Yep. Yeah. Well, no, they've talked to people, and there's, you know, the new generation has a sentiment of, you know, please don't mention this. I am beyond ashamed that this shit happened to us. A lot of the people that were around at the time who weren't really supporting it or were only lip servicing because it was the country and that was the way the country was going, were like, kind of like, please don't talk about this. The people that were direct fucking supporters still think we did nothing wrong, we just lost a war.
And as far as I'm concerned, my mentality on this is, well, I don't care how many Nazis you got following, I don't care about all these Aryan youth. If I get my hands around your neck and all your people kill the both of us after I squeeze the very last breath from you and I walk you to the gates of hell myself, I'm fine with this option. That's how that shit works.
Yes, motherfucker, I'm not traveling alone.
No shit, okay. That's what I've been saying.
You and me are going to go talk to God. Boy, do I got a bargaining chip.
It's creepy. Like, I actually spent a night in a youth hostel in Germany. And the day, you know, as we were rolling out the driveway, our tour guide tells us, oh, by the way, that was a Hitler youth center you just slept in.
Oh, yeah!
Thank you for telling me that after, because if you told me before, I would not have slept.
Exactly.
You would never, ever, ever walk into a death camp and not know what it was.
No shit.
Actually, we went into Auschwitz. And that place has been so fucking sanitized. It's like, it's basically four walls and a bunch of portables now. Uh-huh. I mean, there's like one guard tower in the corner, which I think they kept. And there's some, like, some groovy, never again, sculptures in the center, you know, memorials, obviously. But, I mean, it's all been cleaned out. They have, like, a nice little museum in there. But, like, it's... like,
nice vibe?
The thing is, like... I mean, there might be stuff there that they didn't show us, but it seemed like the stuff that we were shown was pretty much just looked like a generic... It could have been a generic museum in any goddamn building anywhere. And they showed us, the stuff that struck us was like the movie clips, but we could have seen those movie clips on the History Channel.
Has anyone actually seen that movie? I know Girl on the Left has. I know BVM has. I believe Ronan Medic has. Has anyone else besides us seen that movie of the... The liberation of the camps?
All I know is the sequence that sticks in my head is the bulldozers.
Yeah.
The bulldozers pushing the dirt, and boy, there's some interesting stuff coming up in there.
Yeah,
both
basically
like
it was,
arms
it
and
was,
legs and heads.
It was some of the film was taken from the Allies who had liberated it, and some of it was also taken from the Russians. The Russians bit I saw the first time I had seen it, and I admit I'd seen some stuff, but I'd never seen a lot of... war video or a film of the liberation of the camps. And mm-hmm. I'd seen the pictures of the people standing there looking skeletal. I'd seen pictures of some bodies.
Yeah.
I watched this, got up, walked into the bathroom, and threw up.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
It was a good thing that it was several hours after breakfast for us when they took us through here. Like, I think we skipped lunch, and it was, you know, I understand the wisdom of our tour guide now.
Yeah.
He was a very, very smart man who had taken many, many groups of kids through here.
The worst thing I saw was this. They had come up with various ways to handle the problem of, like, you know, mass executions. Besides the showers that we all hear about, they didn't have that everywhere. And in this one, they had taken a group of people, they had put them into a warehouse, backed trucks up, ran hoses from the trucks into the warehouse, and just basically started pumping the gas in from the exhaust. So, of course, it's not happening fast, and these people are trying to get out. So, in a couple occasions, these people had clawed away at the dirt enough that they can start trying to crawl underneath the eave of the house. And they had clawed so hard and so long that his fingernails and his fingers had broken and bent backwards, trying to crawl out. And he was halfway out when, of course, the guards who were walking around the outside saw him and shot him. Mm-hmm. So when the Russians came, this is how they find him. Mm-hmm. And there's a half dozen people backed up around this guy in the hole trying to get out. And like I said, that scene, just basically I looked at it and noticed the way his fingernails and his fingers were bent backwards, got up, walked to the bathroom, and threw up.
Mm-hmm. I did not see that. I'm glad.
No, but the thing is, though, that's why people, you know, sit back and they go, well, you know, Sean, you know, you talk about, you know, things, you know, sometimes you talk about hitting people with shovels and shit, and, you know, that's violence, and violence is wrong, and all this kind of jazz, and, well, violence, once again, stealing from Starship Troopers. You know, violence is the supreme authority from which all of the authority comes. If you do not believe this, your ideas, no matter how noble, will die. Okay? So, the way I see it is, you know, do I have a concrete solution? Do I have a concrete solution for what's going on in the world? Do I have a concrete solution for that? No, I don't claim to have an all-encompassing, all... There's people, like Girl on the Left, like the Ringleader, who are far more politically educated, far more intelligent people, I think, than even myself, right? Like, I think the Girl on the Left's way smarter than I am, okay? But I'm one of those kind of guys, you have to sit back, look around what's going on around you, and go, nope! I don't think so. I don't think that's right. I'm going to get me a shovel and cut somebody's head off. Because, well, be right, be wrong, fuck it. I'm making a call. And, yeah, that's pretty much where it is.
I have to, for a final word on Nazis, I have to turn to the sage, the great Indiana Jones. Nazis. I hate Nazis.
you can't really say much more than that.
Well, it's...
Do you want to take a phone call to...
Sure.
Why don't we actually take some phone calls and then we'll call.
Two
phone calls.
Sure, two phone okay. calls.
I'm not going to play the intro. It's 1-877-SAY-RANT.
729-7268.
What's the IRC saying about all of our Nazi talk?
Oh.
They're probably talking about blowjobs.
Probably.
More than likely.
What?
Hit me, baby, one more time.
Absolutely nothing about Nazis. Well, a little bit.
They usually
don't talk about anything that we're talking about anyway. Mostly listening.
You know, we need to get this.
Oh, shut your mouth.
You're on Rant Radio. Who's this?
Decker Apocalypse.
Hey, Decker Apocalypse. How you doing?
I'm okay. How are you?
Pretty good. What's up?
Oh, nothing much. I just wanted to give you guys some more for your idiot files.
Okay.
Yesterday, my mother left on the airline. On takeoff roll, they stopped and they came back to the terminal. It's really interesting, and we couldn't figure out why. And they got back, the fuel truck pulled up and fueled the airplane.
Great.
Oh, so they were leaving and they hadn't bothered to fill up the tank.
Wow, now there's an argument for the deregulation of airlines. That's great. I love that shit.
That's amazing.
Was that what you wanted to call in for, buddy?
Yeah, that's it. I just thought I'd add that in.
Yeah, sure, that qualifies as our idiot file.
Oh, yeah.
All right, buddy, say what the hell.
What the hell?
Yeah, somebody wasn't checking the fuel gauge there.
Now, before I so rudely...
believe it was pilot error that caused the crash?
Before I so rudely shut down Girl on Left, what were you going to say? Or were you so just shocked from my completely...
Just shut down her brain, yes, it did.
Like, how dare you speak to me like that?
Actually, speaking of... Before you take that phone call, talking about airlines, what's his name? Prophet or Nomad Centaur.
Yes.
Told me a story. Apparently, his father used to work in an airline. And they found a hammer inside the cowling, inside the engine. It had been so hot, it had burned away the wood, but the hammerhead had stayed in there. The plane had left, gone someplace, and when it came back, the head was still in there.
Well, that's pretty good.
So, and they've been missing the hammer for a while now. So they left a fucking hammer inside the engine of a major jet.
Wow. That is a well-designed engine.
Someone has
or hammers.
Someone has come up with a way of rating airlines.
The turbine and its housing. It was not sitting inside the turbine.
I understand, but it was sitting in the engine.
Someone has come up with a way of rating airlines, and they take, you know, the country you're in, the
yeah.
Anyways, they take all the factors, and what it comes down to is that the worst airline in the world is It's in Russia. I'm not sure exactly where specifically. And in it, you have one in 300 chance of being in an airline accident.
Oh, God.
One in 300.
That's bad.
And the best in the world is Air Canada, where you have something in like one in some odd million chance of getting in an accident.
I think it was Air Canada. For one of my classes, we managed to get somebody who was like a union rep doing a talk about like labor relations for one of my classes about a year back. And she was talking about working out of the Vancouver airport. She described a story where there had been this whole fight over like video cameras on, aimed at like employees. And she told a story where they put one in one of the vans, which drove up the meals to the planes, the sort of frozen dinners that become your airplane food. They found a disgruntled employee peeing in the meals.
Okay, take any restaurant anywhere.
That's happened.
A certain amount of time, and
that'll
have a disgruntled employee.
But what you're missing here, Drex, is the time, the care, and the effort, because they all come pre-packaged. So you got to peel back the just let go just a little shot.
Don't fill it too much.
One. I mean, that's persistence and effort.
That's care.
Move them up to management, baby.
That's care in your work.
I am disturbed by the urine content in my peach cobbler.
I put a little of myself into every of these meals.
Yes.
One of the people.
Okay, we got a call.
Hi, Iron Man Radio. Who's this?
Vampire test subject.
Hey, test subject. How's your cat?
He's doing fine. I didn't even get home this weekend to see him, but.
What's the cat's name?
It doesn't matter. What would you like?
What are you calling in about?
Oh, I don't know. Tonight's been a very bad night because I want to rant really quickly about this annoying guy on campus name. I call him Bible Guy because I don't know his name.
Annoying Bible Guy.
Damn Bible Guy. Every Tuesday night, he's in the student center near the cafeteria.
What state are you in?
I go to Wayne State College in Wayne, Nebraska.
Okay, carry on.
All right. He's standing there passing out these cards for people to come to Bible study when people are fucking hungry. It's fucking annoying. Well, this guy won't leave me alone. Every single time I go to eat, he won't leave me alone. And tonight, when I went to get some food, he was standing right behind me. He kept on asking me, do you want to come to my Bible study? No, leave me alone. Then he said, do you live your life for Christ? No. Leave me alone. This guy just won't leave me alone. I swear to God, I'm having my sources finding his name, his address, his phone number, and I'm going to probably send like a letter filled with red seagulls and whatnot, and other pagan symbols and whatnot, and I'm just going to send it. I'm going to harass this guy back.
I have the solution.
Do not harass.
Him.
Do not harass.
What?
Do not harass. Just let Sean speak.
Okay, now, here's what you do.
Sorry.
Okay, the wrong thing to do would be send him satanic shit, because then he's going to think he can save your ass.
True.
Okay, so what you do is you go, look, dude, I'm sorry, I'm Muslim. And he'll go.
He just won't leave me alone, I swear to God.
Just tell him you're Muslim. Look, man, I'm Muslim, or Buddhist or some shit.
Actually,
is that going to help?
I'll tell you why. Because if he keeps harassing you after you tell him that you're Muslim or Jewish or whatever the hell you want to be.
It's religious persecution.
Yeah, exactly. The guy's singling you out and harassing you, and you get his ass arrested.
Actually, you know what? Better yet, because they probably won't buy that he's Muslim or Jewish or something like that, given the fact that it's Nebraska, and I don't think they have any. Small joke there, sorry. Say you're Catholic. Most of these go insane the minute you say the word Catholic. You say the Pope's name, and they flip out. They levitate off the floor. It's beautiful. I do it to people at work. It's great.
I think if I go to the Bible study, I'll probably get kicked out. I'll probably be mentioning lots of stuff, like from Revelation, through my favorite part of the Bible. And I know I told him once before, it's like, I only read the Bible for lots of sex and violence.
There's another great approach. It's my
personal. Read the Bible. Leave me alone.
My favorite approach is to say, so you're Christian, you preach forgiveness, right? Okay, hold tight. You kick him as hard as you can in the nuts. And you tell him, come back and talk to me again as soon as you've forgiven me.
you want me to go to your Bible study? I'll wee-shambo you for it. Okay, it's so.
I won't leave me alone. Ever since I got to college, he has not left me alone.
I just think of inventive things to say every day.
Piss on his shoes. Nothing says fuck off like pissing on someone's shoes.
Ask him if he's like attracted to you or something, because you know he's pestering you like this. Like, dude, I'm sorry, I'm not interested in men.
Oh, fuck!
No, tell him you are.
Oh, offer him a blowjob.
No, maybe I've been getting off on the wrong foot here.
You're like, really cute.
You're really cute.
I
gotta
be staying up late, writing down all these things to say to him every time I see him, every Tuesday night.
Write him a love letter.
Pass him notes.
Write him a love letter. I see
right,
you.
I'm gonna type it up right now.
You should. You should write him a love letter. Say, you know,
I see you.
I see you so nobly standing there handing out your brochures in denial. I know you want me. I touch myself in the shower. I want to share myself with you intimately. Fuck, it'd be great.
Do that and phone us back.
Make it anonymous. He'll leave everyone alone.
I love it.
Okay, say what the hell.
Oh, and also real quickly, I've been working. I'm working on ideas for a cult comic book. Prophets want to help. Just I'm gonna send my email address in the IRC. Just
that is the coolest idea I've heard in a long time with this whole thing.
Oh, my God. Would I ever love to have a cult comic book?
You're talking to a lot of comic geeks.
Only if you include your old Uncle Dak in this will I accept this.
Sorry, it's cult. All right, buddy.
He could be the villain.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Okay, say what the hell.
Hey, screw you, bitch.
What?
All right, buddy, say what the hell.
Say what the hell. Oh, he's gone. What did you say?
I delivered a cross couch kick in the nuts to Uncle Dak. It was a low blow. I apologize.
No, that's cool.
Tell him you forgive me.
Tell him what you said.
I said, hey, it's a racist man. He'll be the villain.
Oh, I think you get this at every college, though. Like, up at SFU, you get, like, these... They always pick the same girls. They're kind of cute. They're about, like, 5 foot nothing. Hi, I'd like to invite you to this really cool group we meet on Tuesdays. We sometimes have...
Lots of girls
we
there.
Sometimes have snowball fights, and we have pizza parties, and we... Is this a Bible study? Yes. Leave me alone.
I never used to get that.
Hi, I'd like to invite you to this really cool group. Like, they go around. Like,
do they pass out flowers at airports, too?
No, they don't pass out flowers, but they, you know, and they stand really, really close. And, like, I mean, yeah, like, it, like the, you know, they
tend to... white sweaters.
Yeah, like, I don't know why they bug me. Maybe they're confused. Maybe they're looking for a change
of pace.
Have
me show up.
I'm not sure.
Have me show up. That'd be great. Okay, I tell you what. When's your next meeting?
Oh, yeah.
It's next Thursday. Okay, well, I'll tell you what. I'll go to your meeting and you come to mine, okay? And I guarantee you'll have more fun at mine than you will at yours.
Okay, I'm amazed.
Who brought the virgin?
I'm amazed.
You!
I'm amazed at the desperation that these Christians show. You see the desperate look in their eye like, we have to convert somebody. It reminds me of this guy I knew who'd go to the nightclub with me.
If I don't get my God, bro,
Pat would go to the nightclub with me, walk up to a girl and go, will you fuck me? No. Next one, will you fuck me? No. Will you fuck me? No. Same look in his eye as these Christians. It's hilarious.
Well, I don't get it. It's like, you know what? You know what would happen? She'd walk up to some guy and say, you know, I just want you to come out to this meeting. I think you'd have a lot of fun. You know what? What? I bet you've never had sex, and if you come back to my room right now, I will get you so high, and we will explore the bent like virtues of eroticism in the corners of your mind. Now, right now, you're going to be offended, and you're going to walk away. But in 3 days, for the next 3 nights, you're going to think about it and dream about it. And I'm right over here. You're a very beautiful girl. Don't waste it on God.
Remember, God forgives.
Wow.
God forgives.
Yeah. Once upon a time, I was in the army, and I was a very bad man. That's all I'd like to say about that. Once upon a time, there was a time when Enki would look at me and go, okay, man, you're really fucked up here.
Slow down.
But I'm a changed man now. Married. Oh, I've cured me of all that. Stop drinking.
Yeah.
I'm a good man now.
A mutual friend.
Look, Enki. Wow, this is my I'm really not believing you face. All right, well, that's it. My back is starting to fucking actually sting because I was hunched for too long. So why don't we go around and say goodnight and fucking all the rest of it.
Heresy. Thanks, Sean.
I got like 30 seconds of battery power left here.
So well, you better hurry then, huh? 30 seconds of battery power.
And rattle
off 64 names.
Samaritan, Echo, Emilio, Smokehouse, Babs, Hayes, Skip Radio, Apocalypse, Case, Dell, Joe Death, Moore, Live, Paley, Pseudo, DRCH, Type X, Enki, Link, RX, Paradox, Rooster, Adam, Breaker, One, Stellaron, Josh K, Zebulon, Junior Bomber, Rast, McCullough, Blade, Scarecrow, E, Buck X, Garmel, Half Elf, Involute, Kessler, Pie, Plastic, Ramos, Skitty, Unnerved, hi, Unnerved, Long Time No See, Orphan, Poison, Cheeto, Broken Fork, Goalie, Deal, Crazy Fuck, Music God, One, Snail Porpo, Star Baby, Y2, Karma, Zerstors, Quoth, Cyber Samurai, Spider Idol, V, Pokey Lips, V.
Pokey Lips?
Vampire Test Subject, Aunt Jemima!
Brooks, Aunt Jemima!
Cenobite, Soul Raper, Ominous Animus, StatsX, the Dandori, and User X. That's all in here.
Yeah,
and going around the room
all
to say goodnight first, starting with...
The ever sexy.
Girl on the left saying goodnight, and don't forget to pester evangelical Christian near you today!
There we have Private Drexel.
Bye.
Then we have Ronan Medic.
Casually reminding you to make your stand against American security.
Then we have Jordan Sessi, projectile bomb man.
I'm making my stands against Americans for purity right now.
Okay. And this is Sean Kay saying, hey, let's save them the other way. Fuck a Christian. They need it really, really bad. Keep the faith.
I'm Icky, and I'm saying... I'm engaged to Quoth, and you're not. Nah. Love you, honey. Blah, 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 blah.
Oh, God.
Asshole.
Oh. Banned from the
did
show.
Did anyone bring in
mother aware of this?
And this is Sumerian.
What if your parents are listening?
Oh, my goodness.
No.
That was so, like, quick. I was like, no.
Oh, no.
And this
oh,
is Sumerian.
What have we done? Our children.
No.
Ah.
No.
And this is Sumerian, and see you in 6 days and 20 hours and 40 minutes. And, on the page, there are all the archives. Stop bothering Smokehouse for them. They're all there. Talk to me. Just go to the webpage. Download them. You can stream them. It's great.
And brainwashing will be...
Okay.
Is he talking about kicking me in the nuts or something? Or what?
No, it's from hell.
Oh. Never mind that. Okay. Yeah.
What about brainwashing?
Brainwashing. Yeah, it'll be out tomorrow. Stop picking on me.
We promise. Sean promises on his life.
Fuck, he sits there, Tim gets all pissed off because I give him a deadline of the day. How long does it take to process? About an hour. I get it done. Oh, you always promise to give me a deadline. Well, yeah, because people fucking ride my ass about it. What do you want? So here's how the order of bugging. You bug me until it's done. And then you bug Samaria until it's processed. And then you bug APOC until it's posted.
There you go.
So that's if you want to pester, that's who you pester. If I come forward and I say it's done... It'll land on Sim.
Remember the chain of command and your pestering.
Yeah, remember to check your fire. Check your fire. Okay, that's about it.
Brainwashing 13.
Operations people.
The unlucky brainwashing.
That's it. I'm going.
That's it. We're out. Goodbye till next week.
Bye.
We interrupt this program with a special bulletin. The internet is now under martial law. All browsing rights have been suspended. Stay off your computers. Do not attempt to download MP3s, pirated software, or ripped movies before they're out in the theaters. Shut up! Do not attempt to register some company sucks.com or lawsuits may occur. Stay off your friends' FTP sites. Do not use any unsanctioned software. Anyone caught using Napster will be shot. Remain calm. Do not panic. The Microsoft Piracy Police will be by to inspect your hard drives in the morning. Anyone caught interfering with the inspection of hard drives will be shot. Stay off your computers. Remain calm. The number one enemy of the internet is non-conformity. Multinational corporations' profits are more important than individual will. All servers running on Microsoft products will remain operational. No more than two people may gather in an IRC or ICQ chat room without permission. Use only the software sanctioned by your boss or supervisor. Shut up. Be happy. Leave webcams on at all times. The security you've demanded is now mandatory. Be happy. At last, the internet is safe to browse again.